All right. Good afternoon. Thank you, everyone, for coming and braving the elements. It would have been more appropriate to learn Yuma to discuss maybe the Sugya of Kapara. Maybe that would have been better, but as fate had it, that's not the Sugya for today. We're talking about Trumas Hadeshen, which doesn't seem to have an aspect of Kapara. We see the Ritva explicitly is the colic between Siluk and Kapara, so it won't be particularly relevant. But I guess just a framing of what we're going to be discussing. We're sort of jumping from the first parak to the third parak. Yisrael's Chabura 2 weeks ago touched on some points right at the beginning of the second parak, but the second parak really discusses many issues of Trumas Hadeshen in a few different ways, and in a sense this Chabura may serve as the bridge. The goal is to discuss the key sugyas of Trumas Hadeshen and its relationship to Avoda within the parak, and look at some broader ramifications. That means that we could have to avoid, you know, just for reasons of time, have to avoid discussing some issues, like the Me'ilah side of things, the Isser Hana, the Naseis Mitzvah, so those may come up tangentially, but we're not going to discuss that primarily. Instead, we're going to focus on the Avoda questions in the second parak, and hopefully work through those issues. So the base of Mikdash is a place of great kavod, the place of Asherah Sashkina, the place of Avodas Hashem, the Asli Mikdash B'Shachanti B'Socham, the Rambam, the Ramban. At the same time, it also is a place with a lot of physical waste, just the nature of bringing karbanos. There's dead animals, there's blood, there's burnt ashes. The Gemara in Psachim, everyone should have a sheet. That's a good idea. So Gemara in Psachim is on the Makoros sheet. Just for reference purposes, Rav Sachem says, "Vama pokin es hazara, amar lo shevach luvnei Aaron sheyelchu ad arkavoseim bedam." That there's a kavod. There's something very nice about what the physical reality was on certain times, especially on Erev Pesach, that there would be knee-high blood in the Beis Hamikdash. We don't generally think about that in the same breath that we think about kavod, that we think about some glorious fancy building, but that's also an aspect of the Mizbeach, of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach, especially, right? Of course, the Mizbeach, this becomes even more acute, both where the Hakravat HaKarbanos are and where you end up with all this detritus, all the burnt flesh, all of the deshen. And the question is, how are we going to view Trumas HaDeshen in its various aspects? And that's not just a question about Trumas HaDeshen, which is what we're going to focus on, but really it's a question about how to view the Mikdash as a whole. In a sense, it's a microcosm of the entire Mikdash. If we look at the Pesukim right at the beginning of Parshas Tzav, that's where Trumas HaDeshen is discussed. And as we know, Parshas Tzav is really talking to the Kohanim. It's sort of a rehashing of the questions of Korbanos, but with a special focus on the Kohanim as opposed to Vayikra. And the Pesukim start off by the Bereshit Moshe Lemor, Tzav es Aram es Banav Lemor, Zos Toras HaOla, talking about the Ola, Hi HaOla al Mokta al Mizbeach Kolayit, the Book of Eishim Mizbeach Tukat Bo, the Ola, that burns all night. And so, and you have the Eishim Mizbeach, what does the Kohen do? V'lavash HaKohen Mido Vad, the Kohen puts on his some form of clothing, U'michnasei Vad Yilvash al Bisaro, both the Mido Vad, the Mad, maybe some sort of cloak, and the Michnasayim. Ve'hirim es hadeshen, asher tochal ha'esh zolal mizbeach. He raises up or separates some of the deshen. V'samo etzol ha'mizbeach. He puts that next to the mizbeach. So that's the first second. We're not going to discuss that, but there's a harama and there's a sima by the kohen wearing the midovad and michnasayvad. That's step one. And then step two, ufashad es bigadav, v'lavash bigadim achirim. He changes his clothes between the harama and what he's about to do. Ve'otzias hadeshen al michutz la'machaneh al makom tahor. He takes out the deshen from this place next to the mizbeach to a tahor place. Right, go into details of that. But it's a second stage of hotza'a. That after the kohen changes his clothes, then he does hotza'a there. So again, thinking just big picture in the context here of the daily karbanos, the karban ola, burning things on the mizbeach. What exactly is going on here? Is this just sort of the beginning of the day? You need to clean off whatever's on the mizbeach, whatever the leftovers are from the previous day? and in order to prepare it for the hakrabos of that day, and that's why we get the beginning of tzav, or in a sense, can we view it as an avoda of sorts? If you go on in the psukim, look at pasuk ches, which I believe is on the handout. Just like we said, v'heirim es hadeshen in pasuk ches, we buy a karban mincha, zos taras hamincha, we say v'heirim mimenu b'kumtso. You're also meiring from a karban mincha. So maybe there's some way of understanding the harama by the deshen, you know, not as just cleaning the mizbeach, but as some sort of hakrava in a sense, just like you have by a karban mincha. So there, and there really are two questions here that are related but distinct, which apply to each of harama and hotza'ah. And of course, one can be machalic between them, as many are. But the conceptual questions we have to ask is, number one, is Terumas HaDeshen and Hotza'as HaDeshen, is that an avoda or not? That's discussed extensively in these Gemaras, if that's what they're talking about. And the other question we have to ask is not necessarily if it's an avoda or not, but what its purpose is. Maybe if it is an avoda, what sort of avoda is it? Is it a form of hakrava? Is it a form of really just cleaning off what's there? So if we look already at some of the mefarshim on the psukim, they're machalik between harama and hotza'a on some matters, and we're going to see it's much more extensive than that. But if we look just at Rashi on the psukim, by Behirim es Hadeshen, explains he takes a shovelful, he puts it on the east of the kevesh. V'hotzias Hadeshen, hatzavur b'tapuach kishu raba, v'ein makom l'marach motzim misham, fine. V'ein zechova b'chol yom, there's no obligation every day to do hotzias Hadeshen, to take it out from the mizbeah, from the mikdash. Av hatruma chova b'chol yom, there's an obligation every day to do Terumas HaDeshen, to take some shovelful from the mizbeach and put it down, but to clean out everything, that's not necessary every day. Presumably, whenever you have too much, then you'd have to take care of it, but that's not necessarily required. So, what is that distinction reflective of, if we accept it? What's the nature, what's the relation between the natures of harama and hotzah? Can we say harama is an avoda of sorts? That's why it's necessary every day. It's an avoda among the avodas in the mikdash, whereas hotzah is just taking out the trash, as it were, something that's necessary but not particularly religiously significant. Or maybe we can't take such a strong claim. Also, looking at the psukim, there's really a highlight twice of the question of the begadim. What begadim are the kohanim wearing? Again, it starts off with midovad and michnas evad. What exactly that is, it's somewhat controversial. And then that's for harama, for hotza'ah, the Kohen changes his begadim. What exactly does the Kohen wear in each of those cases? And what does that distinction reflect? And then finally, they have the question of the Kohanim themselves. If you look in the Psukim, Pasuk Gimel says that there's a Kohen. Pasuk Dalet doesn't emphasize that. And is this kasher with something... someone less than a Kohen as well. Of course, those questions, begadim and Kohen are not, relate closely to the question of avoda. Right? The more it's an avoda, the more you need a Kohen, the more you need the full begadim, etc. So I guess that just looking at the psukim, a lot of these issues already appear in some form, and they'll be discussed in much greater detail in the Gemara and Rishonim. Before we get to that, though, as is always often a good idea, it's good to look at the Moneh HaMitzvos, to see how they classify the mitzvah here, see how what that might inform us. And again, some of these are on the sheet. Although you won't find the Bahag's Sefer Mitzvahs on the sheet. A couple of reasons, but one of which is that he doesn't count Terumas HaDeshen as a mitzvah at all. So it's we all thought it was a mitzvah. It's on most lists, but the Bahag Ude Imei doesn't count it as a mitzvah. Likely. And that's just pointed out by Rucham Fischel Perlow. Likely that means he doesn't see it as an avoda, or it's, to the extent it's an avoda, it's less, or maybe it's integrated into the broader, the broader just process of setting up, of the ma'aracha, etc. It's not independently significant. That's unusual to not count it. Most people count it as a mitzvah. Also, if you look, it might have been interesting to have people counted as two mitzvos, harama and hotza'ah, but didn't find such a shita. But although we'll see, there are some formulations that allow you to get a similar result. Yes.
When you said the
So I was quoting the Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo, who says, "Bahaglo mana mitzvah zuv on aspar tano v'kinkol nimshachim acharav." I didn't hunt down who the nimshachim acharav are, but I'm assuming that this. I believe so, because I don't think the Urim has it as a mitzvah, but
meaning you're sorry, the Urim does count your possession.
Yes, I mean that. Then I missed it then. Let's see. All right, so we'll have to look that up later for yes or say ace.
So he's not one of the nimshachim. Okay.
Yeah.
Does Baha'i count any sort of mitzvah about like the Sidur Maraka or?
Yeah, worth investigating. All right. So as I said, even though no one counts two mitzvos, you do find some formulations that even though hotzas edeshin is not an independent mitzvah, it's incorporated into the mitzvah of harama. Right? There's obviously two ways of thinking about hotzah. If you have a mitzvah for harama, hotzah may be part of that mitzvah, or maybe a gurnish, maybe nothing. So the Maram Sheikh, which is on the sheet, Mitzvah Seilah Harim Sadeshim, Elam Esbeach, Kol Yom Shnei Harim Sadeshim, so, right, Mitzvah Trumah Sadeshim, Behu Avoda Aliba the Kuli Alma, and that's a mitzvah, and an avoda, he counts it as a mitzvah, it's an avoda, and he says, Gam Be'otzah Sadeshim, Amrina B'Yerushalmi, Da Aser B'Zar Machil V'Koyim Balmum. So he doesn't say the words that Hotzah Sadeshim is an avoda, but he says, the way he frames it, he says it has the same standards, you know, it also requires a real kohen, and the implication is that it's an avoda as well, and he includes it in the mitzvah. Presumably, it's a mitzvah as well. How integrated or distinct it may be is not clear from his sheet beyond that. But at least there is at least one moneh mitzvah that gives significance to that. So among those who count the single mitzvah for Trumas Hadeshin, so what's the reason given? What's the hesber, the justification? The Tamei mitzvos given. So the Chinuch writes, Mishorshei mitzvah zu, mashukasam ulamalu, lahadil kvod habayis ulahadro, v'chol yecholteinu, v'natam shemarnu sham, v'noyu l'mizbeach, l'fanos hadeshen, v'makom shorei l'hadik bo'eish. It's a part of the idea of making the Beis HaMikdash beautiful. That, you know, you have this burnt ash on the mizbeach, you want it to look nice, you don't want it to look like, you know, a slaughterhouse or something like that. And you remove it to make it clean. So it sounds like for him it's less functionally about being able to do the avodah on the mizbeach later, and more about an independent kiyum of improving being mishaper the mizbeach. Sorry. And then as well, the ocha ish dolek yafet kishen top of death. And also for the quality of the ish, there's a dual. Are two aspects here, both of being a shaper the mizbeach and the mikdash itself, and improving the ability to burn. In terms of counting the mitzvah, just moving on in the chinuch, and he's going to paraphrase the Rambam in a few places, but we'll save the Rambam for later. He says sharamas hadeshen hi avoda mi avodas hakehuna. It's an avoda. And the vigikuna she utarmin by an adesh and a kusim and a kelim sheshimesh bem sharvodos. The begadim are lesser quality. They, right, we're going to see that in the Gemara. Pasha says, begadim vash, begadim afirm, you change your clothes. Al visha pasik zen namar be otzaz hadeshen, the makor for having begadim kusim is said by otzaz hadeshen. We call makor on gambit trimas hadeshen, it applies to trimas hadeshen as well. So that's interesting. Again, we're going to see this with the Rambam, but this idea of bridging the two, that a pasik that's talking about otzaz hadeshen can be said to apply to harama sadeshin. It'll come up in the Gemara with Shitas Reish Lakish, that there's some sort of a blurring of the difference between the two, according to some. Right, and I guess a final question, if we're going to try to think about what type of mitzvah this is to see, you know, how people group it with the other avodos. Or other mitzvos, rather, of preparing the mikdash and sidur maaracha and the like. So, as I mentioned, you know, for the Bahag, we'd have to check this. Maybe he doesn't count it because it's part of some broader mitzvah. The smag does count an independent mitzvah for Trumas Hadeshen, but he integrates his account of it into the question of hadlakas ha'esh al mizbeach. So, if you just look at the smog. His hira Torah lahadlik esh b'chol yom al mizbeach, mitzvah to light the fire. The chen is hira Torah lasos trumas hadeshim b'chol yom. These are all part of one account, one double mitzvah here. Shenemar parshas tzav zos torah sa'oli olo mokta b'chulei v'lo hashakoy midovad v'rtzi vayu lashem sarva hiras hadeshen. He quotes the psukim. The psukim put these two things together, right? Contextually, the Torah, juxtaposes them, and that's because they're related mitzvos, it would seem. So presumably both of them again would fit with the idea that it's about preparing the mizbeach for hakrava. It seems like it's not independently important so much. I mean, there are separate mitzvos, but the main point for each is to prepare the mizbeach for hakrava rather than itself being something to highlight.
It's the psukim that he quotes.
So it's like inserted there in between.
I think that's right. It's quoting water.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Also the lashon of the mashal of the Gadim Shafishal Ben Kadir Larabo sounds like it's hachana.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that's what?
Yeah, that's the one that's said by himself. It's applied to Harama.
Right, which when you apply it to Harama, certainly it could be hachana for the Hadlakasaish.
We're going to see him in that mashal. Yeah, that mashal can be taken in a couple different directions. We'll get to that Gemara. Yeah.
It is interesting that he's putting this Gemara together with the Truma Session. If let's see, close to this sheet is Truma Session is not supposed to be at night. The Gemara is only kosher by day. The Ruz Manu might relate to one being able to one not being able to say it's connected in the same Sukkim and the same Rabbuda. And they're definitely from the same Sukkim, the same Mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could say that the end goal for both is to make the mizbeach ready, and view the question of timing as a very technical issue. Right, it happens to be this is at night, happens to be just during the day. That's significant for certain aspects, but in terms of understanding their nature, the question of avodas lailam, whether that's a technical question or a broader question, is an important issue. We'll get to that when we do the sugya on Kaf Zayin. But yeah, I think you can square that. But yeah, it's important.
Well, we're speaking of the context. I mean, as you noted, that Parsha Sad seems to be a repeat of Parsha Zayin, but so why is this meaning Zos Torah Sa'ula and then we don't say like anything about an Ola, rather we speak about the Mizbeach and the Trumas Hadeshen does this have something like that have your implications?
Yeah, so I'm not going to get into this. I think some people, I think there's this extended essay in the Chavetz Hasharon, some people want to say that Trumas Hadeshen is a din in specifically by Ola, and Yudafka want to get part of an Ola and be Merim that as opposed to something else. And somehow it's defined by that, which in a sense is Meduk and the Psukim.
Unicol is Lavdafka, but it's that the Sof Haktara or something like that.
So the question of that is one way of reading the Psukim, right? In a sense, well, right, if the Psukim themselves highlight the Tia Ola Alam Zbech Kol Alayla Adaboker last night, and it's also talking about a new day, so in a sense you can read the Psukim as seeing Trumas Hadeshen as a transition of sorts between what's left in the previous day and what's going to happen the next day. I think we're probably going to talk about that a little bit when we talk about Avodah Siluk. And you definitely can understand that. That I think is very important. In terms of the question of Ola per se, I'm going to avoid that issue, although some people do discuss it.
Right, but one way to look at it, without going into detail, is that part of the Hagdorah and Ola is that it's Kulo Lashem. But it's not just Kul Hashem, it's Kul Hashem because it's Kolil Limbis Veyach.
Mm-hmm.
Al-Mokta.
Right?
Al-Mokta. So in a way, part of the Yichus of Ula is its special relationship with the Veyach, that other Karbanos go on the Veyach. The Ula is defined by being Kolil and Al-Mokta Shalom Veyach. So the idea that the Trumas Hadeshen, that the Trumas Hadeshen has a special to the whole as opposed to the discussion or something like that. Right, so that posture, it's something to cherish. I mean, the color of Minkah and the Ola are parallel in some things. And we'll see. And the other things, too, the Kvitzas and so on.
I missed the point before. When you were saying that if Chumash Hadashim is viewed more as a hefsher for the Mizbeach or whatever it is, that's more of a reason to be an avoda, or an independent mitzvah that's less of a reason?
We'll get to that. That's part of the question again at Siluk. But I say Muzgal Rishon, if you say it's just a hachana, it's just a hefsher, then it's less of an avoda, less of a mitzvah. But it's more complicated.
You think that's why the chinuch is, was that your point of the chinuch?
I think most of the mekoros we've seen so far are presenting it as true, it's a mitzvah, but it's really some sort of preparatory stage. It's less, it has less significance in itself. We're going to see in a minute some other mekoros that point in other directions. And, you know, even the chinuch, right, the two formulations of the chinuch, we call it. You would say preparing for the mizbeach is one thing. Being meshaper, the noy of the mizbeach and the mikdash is a different question, right? That's less a question of right, hefsher and just quality, you know, how good the burning is going to be, but it's really about accomplishing something itself. You could be machalic there, you know, between all these things, but I think most of what we've seen so far. Sorry?
He's still calling him the
avoda. And again, we'll see in the sugya is how, you know, what it means to be an avoda. Is there one definition of avoda? Is there multiple? But, you know, he counts it as a mitzvah and he calls it an avoda. That seems to be what comes out of the sugya. But the question is, what does that mean exactly? So even though what we've seen until this point largely focuses on the hefsher, the Trumas Hadeshen serving something else, we're looking at some Makaros now that at least potentially can be understood as having more of an independent kiyum. First, there's this really interesting Yerushalmi and Medrash Rabbah, which I think can be read in multiple ways, but we'll take a look at them. Veheirmes Hadeshen, Ulamedcha She'en Gedulah V'Paltrin Shalmel. That's the Yerushalmi. Trumas Hadeshen somehow shows you that there's no such thing as greatness in the palace of the king, meaning no one other than the king can have Gedulah in the king's palace, and the Torah Tzvi explains, we're not going to read through it, but, you know, even though we could have said, okay, you know, Trumas Hadeshen is taking out the trash, give it to, you might have said, right, give it to the czar, give it to someone wearing disgusting clothes, we don't say that, right, we say that you should dafka, give it to a kohen, be'atzmo, and bigde kahuna, right, dafka, give it to someone who's a kohen with the begadim. Isn't that degrading? Well, no, because in Kedul v'Paltin Shal Melech, you shouldn't be, you know, you're sort of subservient to the Melech, and you should be wearing your, I guess, your Shabbos finest when you're, the Big Day Kahuna, when you're, that's not really Shabbos, whatever, not much goes on in the Mikdash on Shabbos compared to other days, but you should be wearing your best things in the Paltin Shal Melech. The Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar spelled this out a bit more. So what's interesting here, and we'll see in the sugya, is the Gemara goes in really the opposite direction, but we're emphasizing that these are dafka begadim naim, and dafka a full kohen, emphasizing that we don't downgrade these avodos, but that you dafka do, bring the best. The most qualified people, the Kohanim, wearing the most qualified begadim for these avodos. Now you can understand that in one of two different ways. I think in some ways the lashon of the paltrin shel melech is made that it's just about the makom. It's about being lifnei Hashem, the paltrin shel melech, and that's why you have to wear these begadim. That's why you have to have Kohanim doing it. On the other hand, you know, you might say that it's not just the fact that it's in the mikdash. We don't say that anyone in the mikdash needs to be wearing bigdei kahuna. You don't say only Kohanim can be in the mikdash. Some parts yes, some parts no. But it sounds like it may be the fact that this is an avoda as well. That because it's some sort of avoda, it's not just taking out the trash. It's not just, someone cooking. That's why we dafka expect that it'd be a kohen and that he wear nice things. That we see mm-hmm. more of a kiyum of sorts in this action, in this avoda. And that may come out of these makaros. It may not just be about being with Hashem, but maybe there's some kiyum as well that's indicated there. Another makor that indicates a kiyum in Deshen, Gemara and Me'ila. I said we're not going to get into Me'ila, so this is just really the tip of the Deshen iceberg. But there's a machlokes in Me'ila. Itmar, hanene me'efer tapuach, shal gamei mizbeach. What if you get enough from the tapuach, from the pile of ashes. So is there me'ila or not? Rav Amar in Molimbo, Ryokan Amar Molimbo, Machlokes. So lifnei Trumas HaDeshen, before Trumas HaDeshen, have a Kuyam Lepligi the Molimbo. There's definitely me'ila, because this it's Asr Ba'anad. And Ki Pligi, the Machlokes is only the Achar Trumas HaDeshen. After Trumas HaDeshen, Rav Amar in Molimbo, Ari Nasa Mitzvaso. The mitzvah was done. The reason it was Asr Ba'anad is because there was a mitzvah that needed to be done with it. A krava of sorts, the Trumas HaDeshen, the mitzvah is done. Rabbi Yochanan Amar came in the Siv Lavash, came in the Tzarach the Big Day Kahuna, Biktu Shasekai. Right? He seems to say, whole question about the Girsi and Rashi, the Chule, we're not getting into that, but he seems to say that because Hotzaz HaDeshen is an Avoda, you're still not done yet. There's still more Avodos to be done, so there's not, the Isser Hana doesn't dissipate, doesn't dissipate just yet. But according to really both of these Shidos, in a sense, there's definitely some sort of avoda that happens here. Arguably, Rav could be saying that the Trumas HaDeshen is a real hakrava, just like a karban that's about to be, is an item that you're going to be mocking on this day, has an iser mi'ila, and then when it's done, it's nasis mitzvah, so with all mitzvahs, all cases nasis mitzvah. So the same thing here, the Trumas HaDeshen, there's a real kiyum in the deshen itself, hakrava of the deshen that needs to happen, and that's Trumas HaDeshen. Rabbi Yochanan might argue, he might say, in Akinami there's Akrava, but it's later, or there's two stages, or maybe it's not Akrava at all. Less clear how to understand Rabbi Yochanan. At the very least, though, Rav seems to say that there is a Hakrava here. You're not just cleaning the Mizbeach for some other purpose, so the building looks nicer, so that you can burn things better. You're doing a Hakrava, and there's a real mitzvah here, Nasis Mitzvah, so after Trumas HaDeshen, such that the Isser Hana'ah goes away. We'll get back to this point tangentially later, but again, we're not going to get into this, although there's a lot to discuss here.
How does it show that there's a
hakrava? Well, I guess the question is nasis mitzvaso, right? So what's that made on? That's made on there was something.
Just that the gecholim, just that the deshen has kedusha from when it was like on the mizbeach.
And why does it change the fact that you picked it up and put it on the side?
Because now you're making the mitzvah, like the final mitzvah of deshen.
Even though that mitzvah has nothing at all to do with the deshen itself, it's just cleaning the mizbeach. Happens to be there's deshen on the mizbeach. Why should that affect the deshen status? Pasha, I think most Achronim assume, as we've seen in several places, that the fact that there's a change in the Isser Hana, the Isser Me'ila, indicates that the Kiyum is in the Chetza itself, namely that there's a Kiyum in the Deshen, not just, a Hasaras Moneah for something involving the Mizbeach, but the Deshen itself, you're being Mekayim some Hakrava or something by moving it. You don't have to go full Hakrava, but you say it's an Avoda that's inherent to the Deshen. I think Hakrava is a good way of thinking about it. But you precisely need to go in that direction.
Okay, so the Gemara Me'ila works even if you don't require full Mekayim Kahuna?
So I guess we'll see when we get to the Sigavik de Kahuna that some people can explain.
Do you think that Gemara works well?
That's
a discussion.
Right.
It's really relevant to what you just said.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll get there, right? But there are some people who explain that's just a technical question. If we got them, you can somehow get out of that with Xeris HaKasuv, and even though it's still a Hakrava, somehow the Torah tells you this is how to do that Hakrava with these Begadim.
I mean, even if you hold that you're not wearing the full Begadim, you still might have enough of a voda to generate.
I think it's possible, and the fact that it's, I don't know if this is Medir, but it's Dafka not.
Is it Balbum also? Or that Gemara is precluded?
So I think it may depend on, we'll get this, about whether Balbum includes Zar or not. You might have a colleague between whether there's still a full possibility of Hokium, if Tosa says it entails Zar, if it's Yishalmi, other Yishalmi not Slama. That if you have Balmum, that would include Zar. Some other Shitos say
Balmum works, and the Zar would work.
Right. And so maybe that Machlokas would tie into this question about whether a Balmum still can do this Kiyam. But, yeah.
Right. And then, I'm only pointing out that whether the Ila helps for you or not depends on whether that Gemara works according to all the different Shitos that you're soon going to discuss.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's worth noting this is Rabbi Yochanan here on the second Zad.
Right.
So that may complicate things further. It's also, I think, Rabbi Yochanan and Yerushalmi and our Sufya. So we're not really going to deal with Yerushalmi. We'll mention it in passing. But yeah, if you wanted to do Shitas Rabbi Yochanan on this, that would be a lot to work with.
Okay. think the Shita Kumetis in Me'ila says that even that night Gemara could be even according to Rish Lakish, who doesn't have full cup. They could still have some sort of shape on all of them.
Okay.
They don't get squalls, it's just a different kind of a hope.
Okay. Thank you for that. All right, so one formulation of this question, both of the question of harama versus hotzah, and the question of what type is it an avoda, and what type of avoda appears of all places in Rav Shimshon Lefal Hirsch's Teirush on Chumash, Makor number 10 here. I know everyone's it's a little jarring to see English on a Mar Makomo sheet, because we all know the original language is German, and that's what should be on the sheet. I figured for this kahal, probably English was better.
Sounds a little condescending, but I hear.
Also I don't quite understand German, but a little bit. But okay,
that was not condescending.
Before the fire of the new day was laid and lit, the ritual of Trumas Hadeshen, the lifting up ordered in this verse, had to be performed. This act of Trumas Hadeshen does not belong to the preparation of the altar for the service of the new day just beginning. So he takes a hard stand on that. It's not about the new day. This is done by Otzas Hadeshen, prescribed in the next verse. He's Mechalik. Trumas Hadeshen is the previous day. Otzas Hadeshen is the next day. How so? Trumas Hadeshen is rather to be considered as the final conclusion of the service of the preceding day. It's an avoda in itself, and may only be done by a Kohen Kasher in complete priestly vestments. Right, so he's, I guess, against the Sheet of Mikubetzos. I don't know. Assuming he read it. Just as in Pasuk Ches, speaking of the Mincha, it says, Beherim Menu should be Bikum Tso. So here, the Beherim Hadeshen is the lifting out of a Kometz of the ash, lifting out of a Kometz of the ashes of the offering fire. It's right, he makes the comparison to Mincha. It's a Hakrava, just like you do Haramas HaMincha, you do Haramas, right, you take a Kmitz of Mincha and a Makrivit, you take a Harama of the Trumas Hadeshen and your Makrivit. After the priest had clothed himself in the vestments of the Mikdash, he lifted a whole handful of the ashes out of the offering fire, which was then ending, the Samo Eitzlam is Bayah, laid it down deliberately to be left there, completely there and not scattered, some of Benachim, some of Kulov, some of Shalifazi, on the east side next to the ramp of the altar. He doesn't go on in detail about this. Chavetz Chaim HaSharon says, maybe if you think there's Hakrava, it's Dafka, the Sima, more so than the Harama. That's beyond our discussion today. Just as the Kometz of the Mincha serves as Azkara for the whole, that it may be remembered before God, so may this Kometz of the Trumas Hadeshen have been laid down as a remembrance of the devotion represented by the sacrifices of the past day to God and to His Holy Torah. And indeed, B'mizrach, primarily for the permanent consciousness of the nation. So one thing that's, I think, creative here that I didn't see elsewhere is he explains why this is a reasonable hakrava. I mean, since when do we have hakrava with, like, leftovers, right? It's ashes at the end of the day. Why would there be hakrava with that? And he explains that this idea of the connection to Mincha gives us the clue. It's an azkara. It's a reminder of the avodos of the previous day. So it's not stam. Oh, you getting rid of the ashes, but your dafka showing that your devotion, your dafka showing what you did on the mizbeach using those ashes. Okay, so we've seen several perspectives here among the Monia mitzvos and the Farshe Mefarshim. On one extreme that there's no mitzvah at all, the Bahag, and presumably that's because it's all just hasara of whatever's there, but nothing, no real kiyum. Among the Monia mitzvahs, a lot of them emphasize the aspect of preparing the mikdash, preparing the mizbeah, which seems a little instrumental, not such a kiyum in itself. Although we saw some indications in the Yerushalmi Medrash Rava, in the Gemara Me'ila, possibly. That there's really a kiyum in the deshin itself, and Rav Shmuel Hirsch explains that as being a hakrava of sort of showing here's what we did yesterday. We makrif that as an azkara, and along the way we saw some chilukim between haram and hotza. If you're going to say it's pretty reasonable if you're going to say that there's a real kiyum in the deshin, that would be the harama, but not the hotza. The hotza would just be cleaning things off and preparing the mizbeah for the next day. That is what he holds. I think that's, one of the challenges that a person could raise to the idea that the Rosh Hashanah is a real hakrava is, why are you being makriv deshen? Well, because it's an azkara. It's a reminder of what was done the previous day. It's not that it's, you know, quality meat. Most things you're mocking this mizbeach are things that people see as food, right? You have steilechem, you have basar, you have yayin. This is not that. This is deshen. This is ashes. Why would anyone be mocking that? The point is, it's a reminder of the previous day. That's the nature of the akrava. It's like a photo album, lahavdil, right? If you want to make the tamei mitzvos. So I think that's something I didn't see elsewhere, but it's a good hesber as to why you would be mocked at this.
Presumably it's getting that from the connection to pizza.
Right, that's Tara. Yeah.
Maybe what he's ever had in mind, it could be not so much that it has a problem, but it's just like a formal. It's really the deshen, it remains kaddish from what it was. And if we had to do some type of formal seal of kaddish,
mm-hmm. Right, and I guess especially according to people who say it's specifically by the Ola, and you want it, right, that some of it's the prior status that you're still getting some credit for in your, in, yeah.
I don't know, I'm not even sure if I needed that connection.
Right.
I mean, probably if it's almost certainly in some it's based on Asa's attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other day at night. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
It's still me, Asa's attention.
Right, then you may say that even though Asa has, right, and then you say it's just,
it's
right, you're still building off the previous, yeah.
But you're saying the first doesn't mean the special meat status of Ola, right? You're just saying it's a scarf, so we're being allowed just
any carbonos, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you don't need, it's, yeah. I mean, I guess you have different ways of saying it. You could say it's a din in retaining the kedusha of the previous day's carbonos in some sense, or you could say it, nothing to do with that. There's no, you know, it's a new chiyuv of sorts to present this azkara, which is, I think, what he's saying. All right, so if everyone's good, we're going to move to the sugyos, the first sugya on Kaf Beis Amud Aleph. All right, so the first mishnah on the perek gives us a bit of a historical progression about the nature of Trumas HaDeshen and who does it. So it says, Barishona, call me Sharot, Lit Trumas HaMizbeach, Torim. Whoever wanted to do Trumas HaDeshen, present the hate. You had the job. Manchei Merubin, Ratzim Ba'ol Mekevish. There were too many people. They had a race. Kolkonis Chaver Barama Zacha. V'mhayu Shneim Shavim, Hamimuna Omer Lehem Hatzbiu. And if it was a tie, then they'd have some pious form. Exactly. How to do a pious form, or how to do the finger count thing. V'kevan Shero Bezdin, Shebayin Lidei Sakana. Once these races led to Sakana, I show the story. His kinnush lo yuterminus was bech el of a pious. Then they said that from now on we're going to have a pious. So originally there was no pious, and at some point going forward, there was a pious. The Gemara wants to understand why this changed. The Gemara says, "V'hamei kara, my time alot dekinu la rabbanan paisa." Why didn't they have a pious originally? Mei kara sav where came in avodas laila hi lo chashivalu lo asu came in the chazu deka asu va'asu de sakana dekinu la paisa. Right, what changed is, originally they thought it was avodas laila, it's not chashiv. People didn't come, or people wouldn't come, and there was no need for a pious. You know, whoever came would get it. And once they saw people started coming, they changed their mind. They instituted a pious. That's the first hesber. We have a couple of questions. Vary evarmu pedarim, the avodas laila, even the kinu la rabbanan paisa. But evarmu pedarim has a pious, even though it's balaila. No, sof avodas yamamahi. It's considered the day, sort of the day. It's the end of the day. Hainami tchilas avodas yamamahi. Why don't we say Trumas HaDeshen itself is also sort of the day? It's not avodas laila. There are Yochanan kiddush yadav l'trumas HaDeshen l'macher in tzarek l'kadesh shekvar kiddush mitchilas avoda. Trumas HaDeshen, you do kiddush yadayim before it. You don't need to do it again after it. It's almost like you've started your day. So why doesn't this count for that too? Why didn't they make the pious originally? Ema shekvar kiddush mitchila la avoda. No, it's not tchilas avoda. It's not really the beginning of the day per se. It's prior. It's before the avoda. You have no diuk that it's avodas yom rather than avodas laila. So that's the first lashon. And then ikata amri. There's a second lashon explaining why originally they didn't have Trumas HaDeshen. Meikara sabur came to ika onas shena lo asu. It's early in the morning. Not everyone's gonna get up. Came in the chazut the asu. The asu nami they sakana thinking of the rabbanan paisa. They saw people were showing up. So they needed, all of a sudden they needed to make a pais. I very Ivarma Pudarim, the Iko on a Shena. Ivarma Pudarim is very late at night. Are they worried about people not getting there? So why is there a pious originally? Shiny Mignami Mekam. It's easier to stay up late than to get up early. Fine. The second Lashon. The second Lashon is pretty technical. It sounds like it's just about when people wake up. The question is the first Lashon here. If you just read the Shach Vatariya, it sounds like we're saying that at least in the Havamina, Truma Sedeshin is Avodas Laila, and then in the Maskana somehow that's no longer a problem, and we do a pious anyway. Even though we assume generally there's a correlation between pious and Avodas Yom, by Truma Sedeshin they thought it was Avodas Laila, and then at some point they instituted pious by Truma Sedeshin as well. So I guess the question is going to be, among the Mefarshim here, what exactly, well, number one, is this really connected to the question of what is Lila or not? So if you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, he mostly paraphrases the Gemara, but I think there's a few key words right at the end of his parish of this section, v'dachinan, at the end, v'eima shekfar kidesh mitchil avoda, when we say, no, Truma Sedeshin is not really, you know, it's not really the beginning of the days of avoda, it's just beforehand, it's, you know, sort of before the avoda. Ula olam avodas lailahi. He concludes that the maskana, it seems, of the first lashon is that Truma Sedeshin is an avodas laila, and that seems to be the conclusion. Other mefarshim, this is a sort of methodological question. People who don't clarify one way or the other, if they just say, you know, they just say over the Shach and Tari of the Gemara, does that indicate they also agree with this? Because it sounds like Shach and the Gemara is that it's really a question about avodas laila. So that you have the Ritva and Tosos Rush may agree with Rabbeinu Chananel on this. On the other hand, it's not clear that the takeaway here is that it's Avodas Laila. The Ritva says, Eima shekar kidesh mitchila la'avoda, perish tichuya ba'almahu, demadchi lefum hai lishnakama. On lishnakama, we give some, you know, stam a dichuy. Oh, your raya about doing kiddush yadayim v'ragleim is not a real raya. Avali idach lishna, darmina b'samach. According to the second lashon, Meimar de Yochanan Kipashta, we don't reject that lashon. The Hakin Sugya Bishuli Pirkin, Meimar the Kama B'Siyata Deshmaya. Later in the parak, also Naf Kav Zayin, Rabbi Yochanan is quoted and is not rejected in this way. This view is not made. So it sounds like the Ritva is saying, even in this first lashon, we're not really rejecting the point that Truma Sedeshin is Klilas Avoda Diyamama, and certainly the second lashon here and on Daf Kav Zayin, we accept that. So, assuming as both the Rav and the Ritva seem to do, that the discussion here is about whether Truma Sedeshin is Avodas Laila or Tchilas Yamama, that question is, it's not clear how we resolve that question. Rabbeinu Chananel says it's Laila, the Ritva says it's Tchilas Avodas Yamama. So that's one way of reading the Sugya overall, and the question will be, how does this work? Why is there a connection between Pious and Laila? In this sugya, again, we'll get to that. There'll be more another iteration of this question on Kav Zayin. But for our purposes, what's the connection here? So you might say that there's really some din ba'atzim, that a real avoda needs a pious, whereas avodas laila is not really an avoda, right? It doesn't count as an avoda really at all. It's something else. It's something secondary, and that's why they don't need an avoda. The challenge with reading that is that it sounds like the discussion is about interest of Kohanim, whether people show up or not. So it's a bit harder to say this, but at least that's one possible reading, right? That at least in the Havamina they said it's Avodas Laila. We don't generally have pious by Avodas Laila. It's not significant enough of an avoda. Then they had some technical problems. People started fighting, so they needed some resolution. They say, okay, we'll incorporate this into the pious, but not for the same reason that it really is pious. That really needs a pious. Not that it's really an avodas yom. Just sort of for some, just to resolve the machlokas. Alternatively, we might say that the idea that whether it's an avodas laila or not isn't so much a din ba'etzem as much as it affects people's psychology, right? If everyone knows, this isn't stam, something people do with shovels in the middle of the night. A lot of those things, a lot of opportunities for that around here. It's an avoda. It's not just an avodas laila. It's a real deal, a real avodas yom. That would cause people to show up. And presumably, that's what the Ritva is assuming, right? That it is an avodas yom, and maybe that's why people came, and that's why there's a correlation here. Alternatively, you can take a less absolute hesber that it's not that there's an inherent connection between avodas yom versus laila and pious or not, and it's not just reducible to people's interest level. Well, it's sort of like a little plug. If something's in Avodah Tzion, we're going to assume there's more or less interest, and we'll have a pious. If something's in Avodah Tzion, we'll assume there's less interest. And it's sort of a little plug. That's the distinction that we set up. So I think that's one way of reading this whole sugya. It's about Avodah Tzion or not, and there are real implications for the question of defining Terumas HaDeshen. Even though the way it plays out here might or might not be psychological, might or might not just be about who shows up, there's a real question at stake as to the nature of Terumas HaDeshen. However, there are other ways of reading the sugya that are, I guess, less fundamental, less lumdish, I guess you could say. Rashi, fairly consistently throughout the sugya, there are a couple of exceptions, but I think it's pretty consistent, says it's not really about the avoda, it's really just about what the Kohanim think. So, I think I put a few on the Makaro sheet. We'll just read through them. Came in the Vodas Lila, he, right? It's a Vodas Lila, therefore it shouldn't need pious. Hail the Hookshar, Hoel the Hookshar Lila. Lo Hashiva Leila Kohanim. Right? The Kohanim don't care about it. Vlasun and Sile Allah, they won't fight about it. The next year, Rasla Sofa Voda Yamamahi, Shukmaro Shokar, Bunch Nishka, Biom Nizuk Dama Bayom. Lakach Hashuva Leila Kohanim, if it's Sofa Voda Yamama by Ivar Mukhtarim, then the Kohanim do care about it. They are Machshivit. And even when we give the teretz that Terumas HaDeshen is Tchilas Avoda Yamama, Rashi says Alma Tchilas Avoda Karila. We call it that, right? It's not that, I mean, you could take that in different directions, but I think that integrates with the rest of the Rashis. We call it Avodas Tchilas Avoda. We call it part of the Iker Avoda Yamama. So the Kohanim will bother to show up, and we'll have too many people, and we'll need to resolve it. And for Rashi, really, it's very similar to the second Lashon, because in the second Lashon, We say Amri Miyemar Dimisrami, who says that people are going to show up and have a fight. Lo Hashiva Alayhu Lemitrach Alamisveka. They're not going to show up. That's at the end of the sugya. We're trying to reconcile the two different stages when they were Misakin things. People aren't. If they know there's a chance they won't get it, they're not going to be Machshiv. It's really the sugya throughout for Rashi. It sounds like it's just about what people are Machshiv. In the first Lashon, we thought people are Machshiv something being called in Avodah or not, regardless of its actual status. Right, some people like things that are called avoda, a fancy name. The second lashon is even less aspirational, I guess. Right, just about a few other people wake up or not, and it really has nothing at all to do with questions of avoda. Similarly, I think you can read the Meiri in a similar way on our sugya. He writes, "V'avol bisha truma zu b'chol yom mitzvah saseh v'avoda gemura." So, Terumas HaDeshen is an avoda gemura, interestingly. Hoil mikol makom in yana haya bekelim pchusim, since it uses, as we'll see, begadim pchusim. People are, you know, don't wear their finest. V'chein shetzarfu lehem gemar shizmana b'shas onashena, and it's at a time when people aren't necessarily happy to wake up, then we think there might not be interest. So, the way he sort of splices together these two aspects, that whether it's an avoda, but one that doesn't involve nice begadim, and that it's at a time when people don't wake up. It sounds like he'd use really the two Lashonos as one big sugya, one big chant to just, I mean, each one on its own, but they're really talking about the same thing. They're talking about whether people are just going to show up or not. So that's so much for the Meir. I think he's with Rashi on this. The Tosos Yeshanim, though, was a bit of a vexing question for me, so I actually discussed this with Yisrael. He gave Chabura basically on this, on a point in this Tosos Yeshanim. But we both weren't sure how to read this, but let me just present what the question is. He starts off by saying, "Bizman shem Reuben ratzim bekevesh v'tema kevim de'avodahi k'namir b'gmar." He calls it an avoda, and then for the rest of the whole sugya, including the first lashon, which sounds like it's all about whether it's avodas lila or not, avodas lila, avodas tchilas, avodas yamama, he never uses the word lashon once. He both says when the question comes up, "Harei varu kedarim." Where our Gemara has first lashon d'avodas lila, he just says harei varu kedarim d'lailya, right? That it's nighttime. And the Hesbri gives is that people won't wake up because it's the middle of the night. People don't want to wake up. So it sounds like he never actually talked about it being an avoda, despite the fact that he started off by saying l'kaman, we're going to find out that it's an avoda. So I think there's a couple different ways of explaining this, just in terms of what he had in front of him. One, you could say he's only discussing the second lashon. And he had the first lashon that's an avoda. He sort of just mentioned that in passing, but didn't discuss it at all. Maybe it's more likely that he only had the second lashon, or only was misyaches bichlal to the second lashon. And when he talks about kevin avoda, he's talking about later in the parak. We'll see it's an avoda for various reasons, but it's not clear that he's misyaches at all to the question of avoda here. So I think, in a sense, it's even more extreme than Rashi, Rashi says that the lashon avoda affects people psychologically, but according to the Tosfos Shanim, possibly the whole sugya here is not about, not even about the prospect of avoda. It's not about avoda klal uklal. Again, I'm not sure how to read the Tosfos Shanim and you know what Girsi might have been working with, but that's just presenting that because it touches on the question of whether this is about avoda at all. Yeah.
You've been mentioning about whether this is an avoda or not. I mean, what exactly is an avoda?
Hmm. Great. So that's the rest of the chabura will deal with that question. Meaning, there's essentially four sugyas in this parak, or depending on how you count, multiple sugyas in this parak that talk about whether Trumas Adeshen is an avoda bichlal, whether it's avodas lila versus avodas yom or tefilas avodas yom, whether it's avodas siluk or avodas matana or avodas tama, and ramifications of avoda for all sorts of things. So I think that's the point of this chabura, essentially, to discuss the various sugyas. See what avoda might mean in each case, if it's essentially about avoda or if it's a more technical question in each case, and try to see if there can be some sort of unified picture of these sugyos.
No, but I understand that the word is about what is Trumas Adeshen, but you keep saying is it avoda or not avoda. What are those words, avoda?
Right.
Does it mean that it's hard work? That's probably not what it means.
I spent a lot of time. Maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I wrote a paper on the difference between the word malacha and the word avoda in Tanakh, and their meaning and whether they include one another. So there's a lot to discuss there, but I think our question is for the purposes of Trumas Adeshen, the ramifications of whether it's an avoda in these various ways play themselves out in these various sugyas. So when we say it's an avoda or not, we're discussing exactly what this chavura is about. How you'd be minder that, avoda is something you do in the mikdash, at the very least, that's a minimal translation. It seems like we're saying avodas lila is not quite the same. We're going to see a formulation on Kav Zayin. One of the Rishonim there says that it's sort of not so important. It's not so chashuv. That presumably is what's driving the question here. That it's not so chashuv to etzem, or that it's not so chashuv to people. You could say it's not about not being integrated into the avodas hayom. There's a couple different ways of taking it, but I think I'd rather look at each sugya and see how they're using avoda in each case, and then you sort of will get the picture memela.
Yeah,
may
put Mordechai's question. Mm-hmm. Is not like also keep the concept of avoda static and then ask whether haram sedeshen would fit or is a kind of avoda, but are we going to walk away saying that given what our view of Trumas Adeshen is, that we have like a new or more extended or more malleable conception of what the general concept of avoda is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely part of what we're doing, and we're going to especially see that in the sugya of avoda siluk, which for people who are makshiv that for various things, misa bizarre, that may give us a new perspective on what avoda can include. So that's part of the plan, but we have to get there. So moving to the next sugya, on Kav Gimel Amud Beis, which really
just one last clarification. So on pious, you're really not suggesting so much that the argument is about Trumas Adeshen, but that there's an argument about whether pious.
Well, the pious is about avoda.
Well, you need two assumptions for that part of the sugya to be relevant to your bigger picture. Mm-hmm. One is that pious needs an avoda,
mm-hmm.
and secondly, then to discuss whether or not avodas lila or avodas yom is
right.
A factor in defining avoda as opposed to some sort of action.
So that side of the equation, I think we'll see more on Kav Zayin here, at least. For the most part, even though you had different maskanas as well as the Zohar Lila, it didn't seem like that was.
I should say the wild card in this sugya, as opposed to the ones that you're about to come to, is that many Rishonim seem to think that pious per se doesn't require an avoda, and that the argument that they have is about either the criteria for pious
mm-hmm.
or just assessing the chashivas or pious factors about Trumas Adeshen or
right.
Zohar.
Yeah, we'll see on Kav Zayin, there's several shittos in the Rishonim, or general Mahalchim in the Rishonim, as to how to define what's avodah is lila and what's not.
Right.
That's, I guess, the other half.
As opposed to where you're moving to, which is where it's clearer that the issue is about the formality of whether this qualifies as an avodah.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah. That's a fair,
just where we are. Yeah.
All right, so this again, Kav Gimel Amud Beis, there's really, I think, a few separate sugyas. I tried to break it up not on the handout, but on the Makor that I gave the other day, into separate pieces, because they either build on one another or are distinct from one another. We'll start off with the question of Begadim. What Bigdei Kehuna are necessary? And we'll start by talking about Hotzas HaDeshen. Which Bigdei Kehuna are necessary for Hotzas HaDeshen, and what does that tell us about Hotzah? And that will come around and potentially have Nachminas for Harama as well. Alright, so the Gemara is going to raise a question. It's quoting from and building on Medrash and Torah's Kohanim. So we're going to look at both the first one, the Gemara, and on the Medrash. Tanu Rabbanan, Upashat, Begadam, Velamash Begadam Acherim, Vehotzi Es Hadeshen. As we saw when we read the Psukim, right between Haramas Hadeshen and Hotzas Hadeshen, the Kohen changes his clothes, puts on other clothes, Begadam Acherim. So what does that mean? Shomani Kederach Yom HaKippurim. Maybe it's just like on Yom Kippur. Tzar Masechta, Sheposhe Bigdei Kodesh, Velovesh Bigdei Chol, the Kohen Gadol several times changes Bigdei Lavan, Bigdei Zav, and back. So maybe it's the same idea here. Talmud Lomar, Ufashan Es Begadam, Velovesh Begadam Acherim. Malakish begadim shalovish the begadim shaposhe, malahalim bigdei kodesh, afkan bigdei kodesh. So, don't say that he takes off bigdei kodesh and puts on bigdei chol. Rather, he puts on bigdei kodesh as well. Imkein matam lomar acherim chusamehem. So, what does it mean that they're acherim? That they're different than the first ones? It doesn't just mean that it's a new set of clothes of the same type. It means they're chusim. They're lesser quality. So that's the Tanakama's shita. Rabbi Eliezer, which we're going to get in more depth soon. Omer. Acherim v'hotzi, limit al kohanim b'alei mumin, shekshirim v'hotzi adesh. And he darshins acherim, not as teaching that the begadim are different in some way, but rather that the kohanim that can do this avodah can even be b'alei mumin. You don't need a kohen kasher to do hotzas hadeshen. And then the Gemara clarifies, amar mar acherim p'chusim ehem, what exactly is the basis for this idea that the begadim for hotzas hadeshen are p'chusim, are lower quality? The begadim that a person does, the clothing you wear when you cook for your master, are not the same ones you wear when you serve serve him at the table. So, again, just the structure is right. Havamina is the begadim are big dechol. Then we say no, not big dechol. They're rather pchusim, lesser in quality, but not in status. And we explain that based on Begadim Shebishal Ben Kedera Rabba, Lo Yimzo Ben Kos the Rabba. So I guess the most straightforward way of reading the Sugya, the Tanakama's sheet and the back and forth there, so there's a Havamina that he changes into Big Day Chol, the Maskana is he's changed into Big Day Kodesh. So, at least one way of reading this is that the Havamina is that Hotzas Hadeshen is not an Avoda, and does, therefore it doesn't need Begadim. And you can have big day chol, kamash malan. It is an avoda. It needs big day kodesh, but they can be pchusim. You can decrease the quality a little bit. That's not a fatal problem. And you can get at the least you can get away with kelim pchusim, with lesser quality. Right? As we know from Yoni's chabur among other things, baran tzvachim yedzayim bismach bigdam alayim to dushasan alayim or kunasan alayim and bigdam alayim and kunasan alayim. So generally, we associate Bigdei Kehuna with Kohen status and with ability to do avodah. So that would be the basis for reading this Havamina Maskana within the Tanakama Shita, within what Torah's Kohanim is telling us as being a question as to whether Hotzas Hadeshen is an avodah or not. Right? That's at least the straightforward reading. So just one example of someone who I think fits well with that Mahalach is the Ravid on Torah's Kohanim. Should be source 19 for those keeping track. And jumping in halfway after we make the comparison to Yom Kippur, we say Afi Kan Yehi Poshet Bi Begadim Haruuyim LaAvodas Hadeshen VeLoish Begadim SheEin Haruuyim La Umayni Hu Bigdei Kodesh to Bigdei Chol. Our Havamina is you switch from the appropriate clothes for Avodas Hadeshen to clothes that are not appropriate for that for Hotzaa, and that is Bigdei Chol SheHarei Kohen Hedyot Eino Roy LeBigdei Zav Kol. You can't make an exact comparison to Yom Kippur. Talmud Lomar, Begadav, Begadim, Makish, that there's a similarity between the Begadim before and after. Ma Begadim, Shaposhe, Beru'in, Lachtan, Perish, Beru'in, La'avoda, Af Begadim, Shlomish, Beru'in, Lachtan, Klomer, La'avodas, Hadeshen, the Ainu, Begde Kodesh, the Begde Kodesh. Meaning, what changes between the Havi and the Maskana is whether you need Begadim that are Ra'ui for Avoda or not. So if you needed Begadim for Avodas Deshen before, for the Trumas Hadeshen, Haramas Hadeshen, do you need begadim ruim la'avoda for haramas hadeshin or not? Havmin is no, the maskana is yes, and presumably that's based on whether hotzah is an avoda, right? That's at least the most straightforward way of reading it. I think the Ravid, you know, you can read it other ways if you want, but at least the most straightforward way of reading the Ravid is in that vein. So I guess what we'll look at now is ways of challenging that that reading, both in the Havmina and the Maskana. There's multiple ways of reading it, but I think Ma Begadim Shaposhin. Right, Perish Lavoda, meaning it needs to be Avodas Deshen, but because Haramas Avodas Deshen, so too what's afterward, Totsa, also needs Begadim that ruin the Lachdan for Avodas Deshen, meaning. That's right. That is also part of Avodah Sedeshin. It's also an Avodah. It also needs the Begadim. I think you can read it otherwise, but I think that's at least the most straightforward way. We're going to challenge both the reading of the Havamina, that Hutzah Sedeshin is not an Avodah, and the reading of the Maskana, that Hutzah Sedeshin is an Avodah. I think both of those can be challenged. And just before we jump into that, it's worth noting that there's also a question we're going to get to as to whether each of these changes, Bidechol and Begadim Klusim, are mandatory or optional. Are we giving you a license? You can if you want, where, you know, non-Bidechuna or lower quality Begadim, or are we saying Yudavka should? That's an open question that's discussed as well. Baal Mum, according to the Tanakhama, yeah, we're going to go through Rav Luz, we'll come back around.
That would be nice, obviously.
For the straightforward reading of the Ravid, that the Havmina is that it's not an Avodah, so that it's an Avodah. So, right. That's what it would seem like. And then Rav Lazar comes around, then you have to reevaluate. But yeah. In terms of the question of whether this is optional or mandatory to change your Begadim, in the Havamina, recall, the Havamina was, it'll be like the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. You have to change your Begadim. Kohen Gadol changes from Zav to Lavan, and vice versa. And here, you need a change as well, and you change from Big Day Kodesh to Big Day Chol. So what's the basis for that? So as we said, one basis, you might say, is because it's not an Avodah, so you can wear Big Day Chol. Rashi, I think, gives room for another possible reading. Source number 20, you're about halfway down. Kederach Sheyichova al Kohen Gadol, B'chamesh Avodah Shebiyom HaKippurim. You have to change here. Shemeshana begadav b'chol ha'avodos bein zu lezu. He switches off his begadav. Rishon b'gdei zav, shniya b'gdei lavan, shlish b'gdei zav, riz b'gdei lavan. Avzei yishana. The model is the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. You have to change your begadim between these two stages. V'zeshe ein lo l'shanos the b'gdei lavan, the b'gdei zav. You're not wearing b'gdei zav. You can't change b'gdei. You can't wear. You know, how are you going to switch between the two? You can't wear b'gdei zav. You're a kohen hedyo. Shari hedyo ruvainu mishana b'gdei zav. Yishana b'gdei kodesh sheherim b'hem. So you're going to change out of your Bigday Kodesh, Hoshner Rosh Kohen Bidovad, V'yifshon Acher, V'yishon Osam, V'yilvash Bigday Chol Shalo, V'yotzi Hadeshen. Right? You're wearing your Bigday Lavan, because you're a Kohen Hedyo. You have to change to something else. So what are you going to change? You can't change to Zahav. That would be a bad idea. And Aser. So you change to Bigday Chol. So one way of reading Rashi is, there's a Xeris custom you need to change. And it doesn't mean take off your shirt and put on the same exact shirt, it's shirt number two that's the same quality. You need to change the quality of your shirt and of your begadim. And the only way to do that, the only hechitinsa for a kohen hedyo to do that is to put on big day chol. It's not that it's not an avodah. In the Havmina is that hotzah sedeshin is fully an avodah with a special deris hakasuv that he needs to change. Why does he need to change? We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But he needs to change. The only hechitinsa is to change into big day chol. So that is the possibility there. It's not the most obvious possibility, but I think it's there, that in the Havamina there never is the Havamina that Hotzah Sedeshin is not an Avodah. Just that he would wear these Begadim because of Gzeiras HaKasuv. Then the Maskana would be, right, you can change without changing out of Big Day Kodesh. There is a Hechitimtza. We have a better Hechitimtza, where you put on lower quality. That counts. That's significant enough to be V'lavash Begadim Acherim, and you still need to wear your Big Day Kodesh because just like in the Havamina, we still think it's a full Avodah. So that's the possible rereading of the Havamina according to within Rashi. Again, I don't think you have to say this within Rashi, but at least it's a possible reading within Rashi.
But this to understanding the implications. So you're saying that the Xeris HaKasub of being the Shana Nivagadid would be a more compelling requirement than having an avoda be done in a state of where it got.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's an override.
So that's just a, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just saying that's an enormous implication. In other words, this Shinui Begadin has to be so important that it overrides the requirement of Begadin for an avoda.
And we'll see in a couple minutes some of the Hesberim given, I guess. You know, if that's the perspective, you'd want to see a good hezber there for why you do this change.
Presumably it would have something that has in mind, something to do with the relationship between the Harama and the Yotza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So before we get to the reasons, let's just reread the Maskana structurally, and then we'll be able to put in the possible hezberim. As we said, the Maskana, Pashas in the Maskana, assuming against what we just said in Rashi, assuming the Havmin is that Hotzah Zedeshin is not an avoda. The maskana was, no, it is an avoda, that's why you do need begadim. You can't wear big day kol, you need big day kodesh, but chusim, you can have them, you know, have it slightly lesser quality, and that's what you do, presumably because it is an avoda. That was our assumption. However, it's possible to understand that in maskana, we don't retract our assumption that Hotzah Sedeshin is not an avoda. Maybe even in the maskana, Hotzah Sedeshin still does not qualify as an avoda. If so, why are you wearing Bigdei Kodesh? That seems very odd. So before we get into the details of that, let's look quickly at the question of Chova versus Rishus, meaning when you're wearing the other Begadim, is that mandatory or optional? Just suspend your re-understanding of the Maskana for a moment. And if you look at Rashi and Chumash, Ufashad es begadav, Rashi says, Ein zu chova el derech eretz. So lach lich motzaz desh begadav shem shamish ben. You don't need to take off your begadim. You don't need to take off your begadim between haram and hotzah. You can, because it's not so nice to have dirty clothes. Your hotzah's clothes are going to be very dirty. You're going to then want to wear them tomorrow for the haram or whatever the case may be. So you change your clothes al derech eretz. It's not obligatory. And we're going to see some other Rishonim take it as precisely a chova. I believe the Ramban's going to say that it is a chova. We'll read it inside in a couple of moments. So I guess So when we say that in the Maskana, that's begadim pchusim, why is there a heter to wear begadim pchusim? Right, what's the basis for that heter? So Rashi, we saw, just gave a hezber. What's a hezber for why you wear begadim chusim? It's mishum derech eretz. We don't want you to get dirty. So even though let's assume it's fully an avoda, but we decrease our standards and allow you to wear begadim chusim so they don't get dirty. Alternatively, we might say that it's We might say that we almost b'shita have a lower standard. Not that you have to wear it, but that we b'dafka have a differentiation of standards between the harama and hotza'a. It's meduyak, I think, in the Meiri later on in the sugya, who says v'yesh mefarshim shamikra nidrash the harama rotzalomar shelo nemar begadim kusim el the harama. You're gonna have to do a midah. Midah harama nishma leotza at this stage, but at least the Svari is giving is that because it's a lesser avoda, that's why we have lower standards. It sort of makes sense to me Svara, but that I couldn't find people saying the fairish except here in a more complicated context. But the idea is that because it's not an avoda, that's why we lower the standards. It's not mishum tzorech, like Rashi says, you don't want to get dirty, so we say okay. If you change your begadim to pchusim, that's fine. No, it's just differentiation of standards. Hotzah harama is an avoda, and hotzah is not, or not as much of an avoda, let's say, and therefore it's somehow it's lesser legabe avoda, and that's why we allow for pchusim. There's a question.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if you suggest reading a hand, really that it was
understand. Okay, so he told me I have to do this. It's not covered the covenant that I should keep my, say, dirty garments on or whatever it is, so that I'll, then tomorrow I'm going to reuse them. So I have no choice, even though this is an avodah. So that's only more mechudosh, if you'll say both that is rishos and also that you want to kind of as an avodah, you can make, you want to kind of as an avodah all along.
I think you're building on Rosenzweig's point a couple of minutes ago. I mean, right, that if it's if somehow the Derech Kasuv override the Isser or the need for Begadim by Avodah, there better be a pretty good reason why you're overriding it. And
it's even more Mekodesh to say it if you say it's Rishus, but if you say it's
right.
Avodah, it's
you might say it's right. Impossible for that sort of Rishus to override, right? It might just be strong enough. So, yeah, I agreed. Yeah, fine. So there are two, I think, two tzadim in terms of the reason why we say there's a heter to wear lesser Begadim. Either derech eretz for pragmatic tzorech reasons, or that we, you know, b'shita want to differentiate our avodos, and even if you say that, if you say, assuming you say harama is a full avoda, otsa is lesser, even if you, whether you say, you know, much less or a little bit less, and we're going to get to those, that sivug of, you know, quantitative, qualitative, and all of the above, if it's less in some way, that's why you'd have lesser requirements. That's why you'd say you don't need full, you don't need you know, nice begadim, even begadim chusim are sufficient. On the other hand, we have a school of thought that says that it dafka needs to be begadim chusim. The Ramban ala Torah quotes Rashi and disagrees. Says nira shemitzvah hi ala koin she begadim shiyas men karbanos behem karbanos gam haramas adeshen you begadim nikiyim lo yishamish beosan asher hotzi adeshen. We want to make sure that what you're wearing for Hotzah Sedeshin is different than what you're wearing for all other avodos, including Harama Sedeshin. The mitzvah miderech musar ha'eved l'rabo, as the Gemara quoted, right? The expectation is you better have to wear nice clothing, and that's a chova. We look on begadim chamudos avodos b'abchusim l'otzah Sedeshin. That's why you have your sug aleph clothes for the real avodos. I shouldn't say real avodos for non Hotzah, and your subet. For Otzah Sedeshin, although, right, if you look at the Lashon, he does indicate, he does say Avodos as opposed to Otzah Sedeshin, which may very well be that he's saying it's because of Avodah, but there are other possible explanations to give. We're going to see that in a moment. So,
even for the Rabban, it's just that they haven't begotten the Kiyam, really.
Yes, but it's all Sarek. We'll see other Hizbirim in a couple of minutes. Yeah. The Rabban's not alone, and it's not a Parish on Chumash thing to say that it's a Chova. A couple of Rishonim and Arsig, yes, say it's a Chova as well. The Ritva says,
Again, the
chuba
is just have
begotten
the kiyam for
shara avodos. Well, I'm not sure about that. His lashon is, sorry, I didn't understand your question originally. Shemitzvi al kohen. So why is he arguing on Rashi? It sounds like he's disagreeing with Rashi.
It sounds like Rashi thinks that, if a kohen gets his clothes dirty and then wants to do shara avodos,
it sounds like he's arguing in a stronger manner. I see that reading, but I think his objection to Rashi indicates that he views the mitzvah not just in the totzah sense, but in the maisa of switching. But I agree, there is some room for disagreement on that Ramban. Mefarshim on our Gemara, the Ritz van Tosi Shanim, Kigon Shchakim, Vilomar Shittehe Chova Vishchakim. That, I think, is pretty clear. Chova Vishchakim. And Hotzah Sadeshen, Davka. But inan p'chusim. That's Tosi Shanim. I assume the dafka is going on the p'chusim, not only Otzah Sedeshin. But fine. We have a couple of formulations like that in our Rishonim, so that's clear shita, whether you see it in the Rabbanan Chumash or not, that you need to change your begadim. So why is that the case? The first reason we've seen already is just because of cleanliness, because you want to make sure you have clean, proper work clothes. And we take that seriously. You might even read that into the Lashon of Taras Kohanim. Ma begadim shalobesh haru'uyin l'mlachto, avgadim shapodesh haru'uyin l'mlachto. And then why do we say acherim kusameyam? Meaning kusameyam is part of this idea of ruim l'mlachto. So, truly, they both need to be, it's an avoda, and big day kodesh, as opposed to big day chol, but we decrease the quality to be appropriate work attire. And that's maybe what the chova is. On the other hand, we might say that the chova is based on an intentional distinction between the two, b'shita and mishum b'zayon. Right? We can't have hotzah and harama with the same begadim. We definitely need to change the clothes to distinguish between the two. And I think that B'Zion idea can come in one of two ways. The big question is that B'Zion, you might say that B'Zion is based on Avoda, right? How could it be that Haramas HaDeshen, which is an Avoda, and Hotzas HaDeshen, which is not an Avoda, assuming that, have different, have the same clothes? That can't be. That's a B'Zion, right? If you're a chef, wears the same dirty clothes when they serve you, that's, the Shita, it's a problem, not because they'll be dirty when he serves you, but because those are chef's clothes. Even if they're clean, I want you to come to me with maitre d' clothing, not with chef clothing, right? That's the mashal, that it's a bizayon, that something that's an avoda, something that's a real service, that's a hakrava with Nei Hashem, that you would use the same thing that you cook with is inappropriate. So that's one way of looking at that. Just a second, that possibly would be that it's within the, whether it's an avoda or not, that it's distinguishing between the avoda of harama and the non-avoda of otza'a. Alternatively, you could say that it's bizayon of a different sort. It's just not clean, or it's not appropriate, or for several other reasons, you might say that you want to distinguish. I guess we'll see a couple of formulations, but I'd say the strongest formulation is the avoda one. But even you might still say just in terms of bizayon of being clean, not about proper work clothes, but there's a bizayon per se in wearing the same thing that you do for those different activities. Is another possibility. We'll see formulations in a second. Can you suspend your question for?
I think you can
come in. Either okay.
There's no iser to chef. For example.
Sorry, there's no iser.
The shrita is big.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say more broadly, right?
Right.
So broadly, if he's allowed to wear begadim shlem shas avoda, why should tzadik gara?
So right. So I think that
if the chisaron is not, you're not wearing the right clothing.
Oh, you're saying that first tzad. It's not about the distinction. It's just not about having proper work clothes.
Right.
Yeah, it's a weaker tzad. It's a bit harder to fit. Why we dafka focus on the proper begadim here? That's a fair question. You could still say that's the gzeres hakasa. You could still rely on that. But I agree with you. I think the distinction tzad is stronger. And the distinction tzad, of course, there's a reason why you do that between haram and otzah, but not by shlita, because they look so similar. You're dealing with the same materials. You're dealing with the same ashes. It's very easy to get confused and say, oh yeah, everything with the deshen is not an avoda, or everything with the deshen is an avoda. I think there's even an amora who says that. That's Reish Lakish. We'll see a shita, right? So, not to disagree with Reish Lakish, you have to explain this too, but you can say that there's so much room for confusion that we dafka need to distinguish. You should dafka change your clothes and wear something that's pachos. Right? In the Havamina, we thought that distinction would mean that you wear chol. In Maskana, we say it should be big day kodesh, but still pachos. But you need, per se, you need to distinguish because one's an avoda and one's not, or not even that one's an avoda and one's not. But there still is a sense of bizayon to do the two things, and treat them the same way when they're different in nature.
But even in any of your formulations, are you always focusing on the Shabbos Hadeshen part, or the Gadim and other avodas part? God in Chusin is a way to positively highlight what's like singular about the Hotzah.
So I was hoping to hold off on that until the Sila, but we'll just mention it. We'll put it out there.
So hold on.
Right.
Hold on. That's fine.
Right.
So
I'll frame it in a general sense, which is that this suffix of this question about the Begadim, whether the Begadim are Big Day Chol or Big Day Begadim Chusim, and we'll also see about a Kohen, who's a Baal Mum, is like middle category. It's not quite the usual thing, it's not quite nothing, right? Chusim is Big Day Kodesh, but they're less. A Baal Mum is not a Zar, he's not a full Kohen. He's somewhere in the middle. Maybe there's some Din Be'etzim that's appropriate, or Rebbe's like suggesting, we'll see in fuller detail when we get to Siluk. Maybe there's Dafka some reason why here for Hotzah, we'll see for Harama as well, why we dafka want someone like a liminal figure, someone who's in between, not quite, or begadim that are in between, or a kohen who's in between. We're dafka looking for that because it's not that it isn't avoda or not an avoda. It's an in betweener. It's some ways an avoda, some ways not the dafka. Yeah, and that would fit obviously with the chiyah, with the chova, as opposed to a possibility.
Non-avodas, actually, there's
there. You're not out of calamic sense with the right that she does the Torah. But they're all working on different subjects about Tridikon and Nindo the Hanapan and whether there's Kalim or whether Kalim is Torah. It's not, I don't think you can bring that as a thing that Yaakov would read in Tara Gemara and other Gemaras about Nindo the Hanapan. Is there a Mitzvah on the Hanapan at the using them at other times, taking them outside the Mikdash? I don't think say, oh, there's no, I don't think it comes with a presumption that other Rishonim or other Gemaras are assuming there's no Isser. I think I would go in with the assumption there very much is an Isser. Like the Rambam and some Sveikos and other Gemaras.
Not an Isser Mehila or an Isser Kalayim.
Both.
That's not an Isser about now you're.
Well, if you say Ru'in La'avoda, that may actually.
There's no Isser Mehila.
You're not letting us from
right.
Even that discussion is shlobish at avodah l'gamri.
No, it's using it for avodas and non-avodas. Moshe and Tshuva, when he's discussing this ending, he quotes, he makes a dig in the Rambam that they, after the fires, the shokhei, the person who won the shokhei, he went to the Pinchas who was in charge of the Malbush, and they took off his begotten, because he's going to do shvita, which is non-avodah. You're not allowed to do non-avodas with the Bidei Kohuna. Doesn't just mean
everybody. But he says
that
like
or of the Lion or of Mila? No, me. It's going to fit with other. Maybe all people write it, it was booked. That's exactly what they did in Mikdash. That's what it means in the Brisa, that they went to the person in charge of the Malkus.
So you see, Rashi here holds not that way, because when Rashi says that it's Derech Eretz, Rashi should have just said, like you, that.
No, he's doing what Tosa Edition, it's an Avoda. Rashi's just telling you to go between Truma Session and Tosa Edition, they're both Avodas. So I'm allowed to change
the question.
You're proving, you're saying.
No, there's only one sheet to Rebbe Eliezer. Al Chovich is not a similar Rebbe Eliezer. I'll leave it to Rachel. You don't have to pass him. You need to pass him on the other
Even Rachel Lakish probably doesn't pass him like Rebbe Eliezer.
Yeah, I don't think we have to assume this is not a book.
The assumption that every time someone did a sheet on the Mikdash that they weren't wearing, that they adopted.
Right.
The question is, what does a voda mean? What does a voda mean in that broader sense? And what shkita is in, the idea that shkita is included in that.
So you don't need a coin for it.
What?
You don't need a coin to do shkita.
You don't need a coin to do shkita, but it's still one of the avodos with respect to other people. With respect to lishma, with respect to people.
You can bypass your whole point is really beside the issue, because saying those are external considerations.
They tell you something about the chashivas of the.
I'm saying I could say according to the Rambam that for Kohen Gadol, right, there's no iser to wear the.
Kohen Gadol certainly has no.
Right, there's no iser for him. So you still wouldn't say
because of a mitzvah that he's doing by wearing them. There's no answer to wear the.
That's
a question.
How
you read the Rambam?
Mitzvah avodah or mitzvah?
Bidei Kohen are given are klisharis. They have to belong to the sefer. They don't belong in. They're clearly part. They're only meant to be used in certain. Has to be a
hedger
to wear them.
Right,
otherwise,
good.
It's absolutely
absurd. Good. So,
maybe
so if
maybe
there
because
is a
cause, maybe because of Kelim, but it tells you about the Kedusha.
But your mode that Shkita doesn't have both
the Kelim is telling Mr. Kelim.
The hedger to wear it and not have to worry about Kelim tells you about the.
Let's bracket this discussion, I think, just because time is an issue, and I think that really is questions about what Shkita Lavoda he means and that broader question. And I'm sort of mode to the assumption of the question for our purposes. So, if that's okay. I want to try to get through. So, we were in the middle of talking about the Shkita that it's a chiyuv, and not just the chiyuv because you want things to be their proper clothing, but to dafka distinguish between Harama and Hotza'a, And we mentioned the lashon of the begadim shabishal and kner l'rabo al yimzog l'rabo. That sounds like a chiyuv type of lashon. And the two options are either that's mishum avodah or not mishum avodah. The distinction we're trying to draw, avodah versus not, or something else. So the Meiri elsewhere, I have it on the sheet here, I believe. The Meiri, yeah, source 28 it should be, says, Lo hayu osan habegadim, chashuvim kishar habegadim, shahayu ovdim behem, she'in derech she'i adam mozik l'rabo kos, v'osan habegadim she'mevashal behem k'nir l'rabo. It's not appropriate. The Zeu Shenemar Pazuk, Mitzvah Harama, Pazuk Yodav L'Hashvah Nachirim, v'en hakavan she'yu bigdei chol, or habamina, she'yavodei, the tu'una bigdei kuna, kosh biyarnu, else you pusim, mishar begadim, actually yukar behen, she'in elu begadim, hamukhanim, l'shar ha'avodos. So it is an avoda, he's very clear about that, and yet we want to distinguish, there's a chiyuv to distinguish, because it's just not appropriate that what you do for certain types of actions, you do for other types of actions. Now, what may be at work here is what type of avoda it is, right? He says it's an avoda, maybe there's a different quality of the avoda. We'll get to the questions of quality of avodos in a bit. Another way of reading it, is a more simple way of reading it, I think, is that even though they're both in avoda, some avodos are just proper, are nice, are like serving the rav, and some avodos are like cooking, and there's nothing inherently, there's no inherent chiluk between them, you might say. The main chiluk between them is whether it's proper to wear the same clothes. It's just, is it offensive? Is it offensive in a sense, regardless of questions of avoda, to wear the same clothes for taking out the trash and offering something to someone, regardless of question. That's at least an extreme way of formulating that what this meiri might mean. Another formulation is that, no, it's really about avoda, one avoda versus another, and actually, this is a meiri brings down several shittos, one of which implies this, so it's not a stira, because meiri I'm quoting has a few different shittos. It says, v'yesh chol kan lomar shatruma avoda gmura, uvibgadim chashuvim. This is about, at the end of the Sugya B'Rochim Rishlakish, she has a whole bunch of scenarios, but this is useful for our purposes. Truma avoda gmura v'bgadim chashuvim v'lo nemar v'bgadim chusim el leotza she'ena avoda. The difference between avoda and not avoda is the difference between harama and hotza'a, and that explains v'bgadim chusim. It's a function of whether it's an avoda or not, even in the maskana, right? So in the havamina, I thought if it's not an avoda, that would mean you wear big dechol. Maskana, we say no, not big dechol, but it should be chusim. Again, you'd have to explain exactly what avoda means, but at least in terms of the formulation, he says that there's a direct correlation between whether it's an avoda or not and whether you have chusin or not, and that's the chiluk, that's the mandatory, it seems like mandatory chiluk, between harama and hotzah. Right, okay, now if we make a chiluk, just big picture, we're not going to get into this just yet, but when you're machalik between avodos, and you say one avoda is sort of more than, or something's an avoda, something's not an avoda, something's more of an avoda, you can call it in one of three ways, I think, big picture. You can say it's a binary, either something's an avoda or not. This touches on Mordechai's point earlier, right? Either something's an avoda or it's not, and whenever you discuss whether something's an avoda or not, it's a binary question. Alternatively, you could say it's like a sliding scale, it's a quantitative issue. Some things are more avoda, and there are all these various factors of which we're considering today that might make something more of an avoda or less of an avoda, and you consider them all together, you'll get some number, some magic number that will place you in the avoda hierarchy at a totally quantitative level. We'll see going forward a lot of formulations in Rishonim like that, at least that could possibly be read like that. We aspire to find things like this, a qualitative distinction. It's not more or less, it's not you get 2 points for this, you lose 2 points because it's avodas laila, but you gain 2 points because it's avoda chashuva. It's a qualitative thing. It's a question about the nature of the avoda. Right? There's the avodas of different types. Again, when we get to Avodah Siluk, we'll see how this plays itself out. So, we're not going to get into that just yet, but it's important to keep in mind when we talk about an avoda being more or less, it could touch on any of those things, right? Binary, quantitative distinction, or qualitative distinction. Alright, so now we read in the Gemara earlier, Rav Eliezer's distinction, that Rav Eliezer's reading of Acherim. Acherim doesn't mean that it's different begadim, it doesn't mean you change your clothes, that's not the way he's reading it for our purposes in the lines he quotes. It rather means that you have different people. As Gemara says, Rav Eliezer Omer, Acherim v'hotzi, limed ala kohanim bale mumin shekshar v'hotzi adeshen. Right? Even though you can only have a kohen kasher do haramas adeshen, you can have a kohen bale mum do hotzas adeshen. So, just the nature of the drasha, we'll see some similarities between what we saw with Gabe Begadim and what we're going to see with Gabe Kohen. The question of, right, at least some version of the question of whether it's a heter or a fiyuv to change the person here, and certainly the question of the ramifications for avoda. The first thing to figure out here that's not immediately clear is what the drasha is exactly. So our Gemara sounds like it's pretty clear. It says acherim v'hotzi. Right? Instead of darshaning begadim acherim, it's acherim v'hotzi. It's on the person being a maisa v'hotzi is acherim. As Rashi spells out, acherim v'hotzi min ha'kohanim bali mumin hay acherim. Akohen kai, the word acherim is not related to begadim, so we can be kohen. Klomer kohanim shehem acherim. A different type of kohen. Right? Again, not just a different person of the same type. A different category of kohen. Miruchakim mishar avodos. Rashi spells out, as in, this will be important, far away from any other avodah. A kohen doesn't usually do avodah of a different type. Sherim la'avodazu. They're kosher here. That's the drasha according to the Gemara. Acherim v'hotzi. The Sifra Toras Kohanim has a different formulation. Rabbi Elazar Omer, if you go back, it's on the sheet. Rabbi Elazar Omer, v'hotzi es hadeshen. Limit al bali mumin, shehu ksherim v'hotzi es hadeshen. Very straightforward. What does it say about, right? It says v'hotzi es hadeshen, period. It doesn't say v'hotzi ha'kohen es hadeshen. V'hotzi es hadeshen. So that shows you don't need a full kohen. You can have bali mumin take out the deshen. At least that's one way of potentially reading the Sifra, the Toras Kohanim, and the Chizkuni in his Perush goes in that direction explicitly. He doesn't cite the Toras Kohanim, but I think it's doing something similar. V'hotzi u'lahotzi es hadeshen in kohen kasev kan. Liman al-bali mumin sheng sherem lahotzi es hadeshen. Doesn't say kohen anywhere. So, right, it could be, is it a drasha from absence, or is it a drasha from the word acherim? Seems to be the two options here. Admittedly, this reading of the Toras Kohanim is not the standard one. The Mefarshim go follow the Bavli type of reading, but at least it's a possibility. Right. So that's right. That's the problem. No one takes it that far in terms of how they darshan. What we saw, we'll see some people compare Bal Mumin Zar. The Yerushalmi does. Tosos will, but no one's doing it here. So, yeah. And it seems like their constraint is the Bavli doesn't do it. So that's it's a, right. But it does. The Chizkuni doesn't give any good reason in this line why you wouldn't extend it to unless you say something similar, right? It has to be different, but somewhat similar. The same way the begadim are the same, they need to be legally kosher, but they can be chusim, so too the kohen can be not a kosher kohen, but still needs to be a kohen. You can say something like that, but it's not spelled out. The question of this drasha presumably points to the issue of whether this is whether this is a preference or a heter, right? We talked last time about begadim, whether it's a chiyuv or a heter. Here it's hard to say it's a chiyuv because the Gemara says ksherim la'avoda, right? Limid al kohanim bali mumim sheksherim lahotzi hadeshen, and the sifra also shu ksherim. So it's hard to say it's a chova. But maybe the question is what's like the ideal, right? If you were to construct your ideal harama hatzas hadeshen sequence, what would it look like? Would it be a bali mumim dafka if you could, or is it just a heter? So I think there's a, right, so the Lashon is Ksherim, so it's not going to be an absolute bubble, but there are some formulations that make it sound like it's preferable. As Rashi said, Miruchakim Mishar Avodos, right? Even though, again, he does use the word Ksherim, but it sounds like for Rashi, Acherim means it's not because someone who's different. It's not just that there's a Hetzer of someone who's different, maybe it's even preferable. That's sort of our ideal. Tzas Hadeshen for Rav Elazar is done by a Baal Mum. Same thing for Rabbeinu Hillel on Toras Kohanim, even al bali mumin, klomer acherim, hainu bali mumin, the isnuhu acherim mehanhu davba Rav Sedeshen. They're different than the people at Rav Sedeshen. I mean, if you think through the process, you do a Rav Sedeshen, then you get someone who's davka different, of a different sort. That sounds like that's what he's looking for. Again, you could play down these things and say, no, they're just describing the pshat, but I think there is some indication that they see a preference here. Fine. Yeah, so it could be that you understand the drasha as a need to be different. Alternatively, I think this may be, again, more pashup shot, and again, the Rai that I think will go in this direction, the drasha is telling us something about the avoda status. Right? The Rav Elazar, by telling us, acher behavi, that a Baal Mum can do it, is telling us, as the Rai says, kasav Rav Eliezer, hotzas hadeshen, lav avoda hiklal, hilkechlo, bayanami, big day kahuna. Fine, that's going to touch on a different issue, but at least the way he understands Rav Elazar is he's saying it's not an avoda at all. That's why you can have a Baal Mum do it. If he would extend that even to Big Dikunu, that's going to be Machlokes Rishonim, we'll see in a minute, but the point is he sees it as teaching us about avoda. Not just that it's someone different, but that it's about avoda, that it's not an avoda. Right, Tosos Yishanim, Tosos Diras Yesh. We'll look at that in greater depth in a few minutes, but he also says, Rebelazar, Balimum Ksherim, Notza, Dilav Avodahi. He says he takes that stance, it's not an avoda. He'll complicate things because, you know, for the Tosfos, something cannot be an avoda and have all these requirements, and it could be an avoda and not have these requirements. It's pretty flexible on that with the Xeris Akasav affecting things, but fine, we'll get to that. Now, there's a Machlokas Rishonim, we just saw the Ravid sort of slipped it in. Machlokas Rishonim about what Rav Elazar holds about Begadim. Remember that we have two alternative drushes of what the term Acherim means. Is Acherim talking about the Bigdei Kahuna, that you don't need the same type of Bigdei Kahuna, or you need a different type of Bigdei Kahuna, whether that's Bigdei Chol, which we reject, or Begadim Klusim? Whereas that's the Tanakhama. Rav Elazar says, no, it's not about Begadim, it's about the Kohanim. You can have a Baal Mum. So the question is, what would Rav Elazar say about the Tanakhama's issue? So the Ritva has two opinions on this, his own and the Rav HaChassid. Do we know who the Rav HaChassid is? No. Who does medieval Judaism? Is it? I didn't. What? Yeah? Okay. So between the Ritva and Rabbeinu Yonah, quote the specific line, L'fum Pashta Mashma Dibahapalik. The Habahapalik Rav Elazar al Tanakhama. Rav Elazar argues with the Tanakhama about this question of Bali Mumin, right? The Tanakhama never said anything about Bali Mumin. Presumably, he would say you can't have a Bali Mum, although exactly why we have to clarify, but Rav Elazar says you can't have a Bali Mum. Avamodu is about, you know, Bigdei Kodesh, Meikesh Dele'el. But he accepts that we need Bigdei Kodesh. He accepts that Begadim Acherim is Dumya, the Begadim of Harama, that you can't have Bigdei Chol for Hotzas Hadeshen. That's the Ritva's own opinion. Of the Mukhe, Rav HaChassid Zal Pirish, the Kevan de Machshurla, the Kohanim Bali Mumin, Ein LaHatzrich Ba, Bigdei Kodesh. He says that, no, let's think about this for a second. He's even allowing a Bal Mum. So how could he need Bigdei Kodesh? Bigdei Kodesh, that presumes it's an... Sorry?
That's right.
Yeah, so much to the right. Yeah, it's not Navoda. It's not Navoda, so how could he require... How can he require Bigdei Kodesh? He doesn't require Baal Mum. There's two different ways of thinking it. I think the more Pasha way is like the Ravid said it, that it's not an avoda, therefore you don't need Bigdei Kahuna. The Mishnah Melach, we're not going to get into this, has many fascinating points here on different stages of these different sugyas. One of his points is, well, is there any significance to a Baal Mum wearing Begadim, or are those Begadim sort of meaningless? It's like a Zarvah Begadim, it's just has no status. So that, and he even entertains the possibility that if Rav Elazar would require Begadim, it would only be in a case where it was a non-Baal Mum, which is a big finish. Like, you need Begadim if it's Shaykh. If it's not Shaykh by Baal Mum, and if there's Shaykh, Baal Mum works. So, yeah.
The meaning what? That the Hatzos HaDeshen can be an Avodah if it's done by the right person, but doesn't need to be an Avodah?
I didn't think it could possibly mean that, right? So I guess the most charitable way of reading.
Which is way, again, back, I don't want to open up the whole argument again, but which is the way some people understand the Din of
Shkita.
If Shkita is done by a Kohen, then it takes on the status also of mm-hmm. So you might say something like, oh, then it's considered a continuation of the. Here I would add that then it's considered a continuation without the opposition to what we're saying from the contrast, but then it might be considered a continuation. It doesn't need to be a continuation of Jura Sadashin. It can be taken to what you call, taking out the waste. But if you continue the Big Day Kahuna with the proper Kohen, then it can be considered the culmination of that, which I guess you get to know what a Tama.
Yeah. I mean, that feels like a bigger finish than what you would have to say. I mean,
right.
I have to look at it again, but I would have guessed that you would say that the Baal Mum is some some special deer to custody that you can do it this way, but and you've got to be meaningless, but it's not like it's less than a vote that you do all the time.
But you're saying that the other one, the Kohen...
Or maybe that it's not an avoda, right, we can do it the other way also. It's not an avoda, but you thought you need to gut in, or like Kosovo's had that side, just as a rough and or something. You have a nice big gutting. But I have to look at it again. But this whole that topic of the Mishnah Melach, I don't think appears in any of the Rishonim. It's his Chiddush, worth considering, but not the way the Rishonim think it. As the Ravid says, Lav Avod Hiklal Hilgafo Bayanami Bigdei Kahuna. How could you say that if a Baal Mum is Kasher, but it needs Bigdei Kahuna? That doesn't make sense. It's not Balmo Miskasher, it's not an avoda. You don't need Pitei Kahuna, that must be where Rabbi Eliezer holds. And he doesn't say explicitly that he argues with Tanakama on that, but that's implicit from his very shita, that it's not an avoda. Yeah, questions.
First thing, where is this
Rambam Tmin Musafim Beis Yud, and if you want to look through it now, get back to me when you're done in 4 hours. So it's a big one. Yeah.
Second thing is, I didn't see the right inside, but the Ritva, I have difficulty assuming, thinking that the Rabbi Fassett is the same as the Ravid, because
it's not the same person.
The same Shita, because in the Hemsha, it's meaning the Ravid, at least from what we have in front of us. I haven't seen it inside, that's all I have to work with, is that since you, Bali Mumur Kosher, Mimela Zanvoda, Mimela Yomi Bigdi. And then we just say no, that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't conform with these Shitos in the Tanayas later on, but that Rabbi Eliezer is Kaimi, and so is Lab Nevoda.
Can you try that one more time? Yeah.
Gemara says, Lamech Tanayim, the end of Hakilom.
We're not up to that yet. Can we read the Gemara to get to that?
Sure.
Okay, great. We're going to read the Machlokas Reuven Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish, Machlokas Beotza, Kach Machlokas Beharama. Reish Lakish asserts a very Mechudish point. We'll say why in a minute. Machlokas Beotza applies to Harama equally, meaning we had thought this Cholik is Cholik Lemaskana as well. And he would say, or at least possibly, not just Nachman Ladina, but presumably Reish Lakish would say, that all these differences are there, and how he would deal with that the Tanaim there, he'd have to sort that out. Fine. Now so the Chiddush,
isn't it clear? Meaning the Hava Mina of the Gemara was that I have that one of the at least one of these Tanaim, I think Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Doza is going to conform with Rebbe Eliezer. And the Gemara characterized that as lavodah.
Oh, my understanding was that the name of Ketanai was about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish.
I understand that, but meaning Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are, they're speaking about Tzatzas Geshen, and whoever is saying that, one of them is saying that Trumas Geshen isn't an avodah, right?
One of them meaning Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi... Yeah, that was the assumption.
Reish
Lakish says that Harama and Otsa are the same, which and because Harama is not an avodah, it's only two begadim, therefore it's the same as Otsa, at least it got me something, and that's why we would... Yeah, it's lava avodah.
So that means that the Gemara seems to think that Rabbi Eliezer... Again, whether Rabbi Eliezer Shita carries over to Trumas and Eshet...
You're saying the Rishon we're going to ask questions about once you say that it's lava avodah... What happens to all everything earlier in the sugya that seems to assume wasn't avoda? Yes, so we're gonna take a look at some of those very rishon. Okay. All right. So Reish Lakish is really a massive chiddush just in terms of pashas the psukim. If the whole basis for all the differences of otsa is that it's a distinguishing between pasuk gimel and pasuk dalet, between harama and otsa, Reish Lakish then says no, everything that we said is a special din by harama, by otsa rather, is actually a din by both harama and otsa. And pretend that the pasuk of Begadim Acherim, Behevi, or whatever it applies to, pretend that that really is before pasuk Gimel and applies to Aram as well. Big chiddush in terms of reading the pasuk and in terms of everything we said until now. But of course, it comes from a conceptual basis that right, it's only two Begadim. At least that's the way he reads it. Only two Begadim for Aram. How could it be an avoda? Everything we said about Hotza when we downgraded it from being an avoda or whatever exactly we did by Hotza should apply to Harama as well. Earlier in the sugya, yes. I mean, that could be that you have to be closer. Let's see some issues raised by Rishonim here.
You don't have to be closer. According to my reading, you don't have to be closer.
According to your reading, that
they're just saying that.
Oh, that it's not about avoda.
It's not avoda, but you need.
You'd still have to explain what the discussion was about. Presumably, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about something.
No,
presumably that would have some implication.
But everyone agrees that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Tzatzas Geshen is not an avoda.
Okay. Okay. Again, yes, there may be one way of reconciling. Yes. Okay. Fine. Right. And so the most straightforward way of reading this Gemara is that it's about not being an avoda. That's the lashon that's used. However, you might say that it's less about this absolute question of is it an avoda or not, and more like a lesser avoda, right? Or are we fully equating harama and hotza, or only legabe some things? And is that, what about the at first, when we first raise the question, by the time we get to the end of the sugya, does it shift at all? It's not fully clear exactly how far Reish Lakish goes. We saw earlier one of the Rishonim, the Ritva, saying that it's not a full comparison. And indeed, Rashi's Lashon, Kimachokas Beotza, Kishim Shabliazer, Makshir, Bali Mumin, Leotza, Kach Makshiran, Leharama, only says it about Bali Mumin, doesn't say it about Begadim. Although it would seem to be that Pashtus in the Sugya would apply to everything, but that's at least a matter of contention. By the way, before I forget, just a question about what Mido Vad means in the Pasuk is a machlokas between the Farshim. Onkelos says, Levushin Debutz, and Chizkuni says, Knos Mitznefes Ka'adne, meaning all the Begadim, even Al-Tzpshat. Even Ezra and Rashi say, Mido is Chaluk, or Mido Vad Hiaksones. They limit it, and they seem to work with Reish Lakish, at least the way Reish Lakish reads it. That's only, at least from Shat, is only talking about two things, two of the four. So that's, just keep that in mind. That, you know, this goes back to Machlokas about how to read the words, and the Mefarshim engage that. Fine. But Rashi here on our Sugya limits it to say it's about Bali Mumin. At least that's what he starts off by saying. And as we mentioned, the Machlokas, right, according to the right, if you take a stronger view, you might say that it's not just about Bali Mumin, it's about the whole thing. And especially if you have a strong Rabbi Lazar, who's also Chozer in terms of Begadim, has a Shita in terms of Begadim, you might apply that here in Reish Lakish as well, at least theoretically. All right, so. Right, so. One way, the question of Rashi, especially for Rashi, who limits the issue to just the Big Day Kahuna, sorry, just the question of Balmum and not the Big Day Kahuna, you might say it's really a sort of specific Zeres HaKasim and not necessarily about the whole question of Avodah, even though the Lashon HaGemara is much more that way, you might limit it and say this is a more specific question. Fine. We saw before the Tosas that if it's not an Avodah, why wouldn't it be Begadim, and there may be a Zeres HaKasim, and there may be a Zeres HaKasim, why you would, right, Begadim or Kohen Kasher. So we saw that earlier. Right, in general, and we also saw that the question is whether you say, if you need one and not the other, which may be what Reish Lakish is asserting, does that mean it's an avoda with Exeris Akasiv to exclude? It's an avoda with Exeris Akasiv to allow for Baal Mum? Or is it, no, it's not an avoda with Exeris Akasiv to not allow, to require Begadim that we saw? Fine. It'll be worth skipping this. So that sort of that approach, which we saw in Tosfos, takes what seems to be somewhat of an absolute approach in terms of is it an avoda or is it not an avoda? Right, they define it as an avoda with xeris hakasav. There's no, at least in that Tosfos we saw, there's no consideration of maybe it's an avoda for some things and not for other things. So the definition of avoda seems binary. However, in our sugya we find that there may be more of a gray area, and more qualitative as far as defining something that may be a partial avoda or a avoda for some things. Ritzva dibra maschil e, isa lodai der avoda hi, b'chiesh kal avoda v'chir b'shei kelim, Reish Lakish's question. He raises the question, kashali, the amai lo kashalei hacha hachi l'tanakamim, the suffers b'inan koin tamim u'bigde kodesh. According to Reish Lakish, and this morning I maybe relate to some of your points, according to Reish Lakish, who raises the issue that harama seems to not be an avoda, doesn't that undermine everything that the Tanakama stands for? To exaggerate a bit, right? Tanakama seems to say it is an avoda, and that's why he needs even Big Day Kodesh. Why doesn't this undermine that? V'yesh Lomar, the ihu lekulei alma sfirale the afilu trumas hadeshen ena avoda shlema. Kevin sheik share b'shnei kelim. You know what? Now that we see Reish Lakish, we have to revise what we thought previously. In fact, everyone really holds that trumas hadeshen is not a full avoda. Now, presumably, everyone is within Reish Lakish. That's what it seems like. Elish exeris akasiv he. The Tanakama, the Kevan, the Yesh, but Sanavoda, should hate Srifa Koin Tamim. Indeed, it's not a full Avoda, but since it has a Tzad Avoda, it would need Koin Tamim. And if we're talking about the Tanakama, right, so that's true about Trumas Hadeshin, that's also true about Hotzaz Hadeshin, like the Tanakama, right? So what it sounds like, and you have to explain why that is, but definitely Haramas Hadeshin is not an Avoda Shlema. Although it is a Yesh Matzad Avoda, and presumably you would have to say that Hotzah also has some Tzad Avoda in some sense, otherwise why would it have any of those requirements according to the Tanakhama? So what comes out, according to this Ritva, is that both Harama and Hotza'a are neither fully Avodos nor fully non-Avodos. They both seem to have, the second is somewhat less Mukhar, but at least that's one possible reading, that both Harama and Hotza'a are neither absolute yes or absolute no, neither participate in the binary, they're both points on the spectrum of Avodanus. And again, not necessarily commit to being quantitative here. But the point is, it's not all or nothing. So we find several other formulations that are similar to this, that it's not all and not nothing. We're going to discuss that more on the sugya of Silut, but just keep that in mind that comes up here. I think there's way too much to do here, but one thing to look at that I think is a nice summary that ties in a few of the questions of this overall sugya, of the relation between Hotza and Harama, and whether each one is an avoda or not, and how that plays itself out, is the Meiri concludes with four different shitos, which I think are a nice way of just seeing some of the range of possibilities here, which we'll do quickly and won't do justice to, unfortunately. V'nimtza she'atruma tu'una arba'a begadim kishar. This is Meiri's own shita. She'atruma tu'una arba'a begadim kishar ha'avoda. Shalom atzino avoda k'sher b'shnei kelim. Harama is a full avoda. It needs four begadim. And this is within Rabbi Yochanan. L'datenu truma ve'otza shavos le'inyin zeh. V'chein otza yinakshir v'vayim bumin k'truma atzma. Both Harama and Hotza'a need all four begadim, it sounds like, and they also need, they can't have Bali Mumin. Now, it seems like a strong equation between the two. Now, there's another opinion. Yesh cholkin lomar she'atruma avoda gmura u'begadim chashuvim v'lo nemar begadim chusim el lotza. There is one difference, at least one difference between Harama and Hotza, is begadim chusim. Because Truma is Avodah Gmura, and Hotza is not. So, Elo Nemar, Begadim Chusim, Elo Lahotzi, She'ein Avodah, Umikol Makom, Tu'una, Bigde Kuhuna Chusim, Ve'ein Bali Mumin, Osin Osa. And still, for Hotza, we keep a high standard. The only thing that we allow for is Chusim. So the first side sounds like Hotza really is exactly the same as Harama. Ironically, it's almost like Reish Lakish in reverse. A Reish Lakish that raises the standard of Hotza to equate with that of Harama. Almost like Reish Lakish was Makabel, I don't know if you have to read the sugya this way, but at least one way of reading it, Reish Lakish was Makabel, Rabbi Yochanan was Makabel Reish Lakish's contention that they should be the same, and says, enough, you know, they're the same, but that means that even Hotza'a doesn't have Pusim. That's the way it sounds like from the Meiri. I don't know how else you would get, you would say Hotza'a doesn't need Pusim. Fine, moving to the third, then the second side is that you have that difference of Pusim, which would presumably be Pashtus in the Tanakhama, that he has Pchusim, and Pashtus in Rabbi Yochanan, that he doesn't affect Harama at all. Third shita in the Meiri, Yesh Machriim, Sheshtehen Bebgadim Pchusim. Both have Bebgadim Pchusim. Al She'osim Shebehotza'a, Tzarek Shiyu Pchusim Yaser Al Osim Shel Harama. This is a really fascinating position, again, along a spectrum type of Svara, that, neither of them are fully Avodos, in the sense that at least something's missing, even by Harama Sadesh, you have Pusim, and both of them need Bigde Kodesh and non-Baal Mum, it sounds like. So both of them are Avodos, for the most part, but you have Pusim and Super Pusim by Harama and Hotza'a. I think this fit presumably very particularly well with the Silut Svar, maybe we'll mention it once we get there. And then the fourth sheet, the Yesh Mefarshim Sham Mikra Nidrash LaHarama.
That's on the assumption that it's that Hotza'a is in Avoda, right?
Well, that you're saying like Tosfos?
Because he says, that Yesh Machriyan?
It's not, I mean...
Isn't that...
You want to say it's Tosfos? What?
It says, the Yesh Cholkim, that Trumas is Avoda Gemura of God and Peshuvim, and how Tzal Sadashin is in Avoda, but it needs Pusim, right?
Yeah, who is that?
And then the Yesh Machriyan says that...
You're saying it's building off of the second sheet, though.
Doesn't it sound like that?
So you want to say, right, you say it's like Tosos that Hotza is not Navoda, even though it needs everything that Navoda would need, except it's super Pchusim. Okay, that could very well be. That could very well be, and then you have to ask what it even means to be a Navoda.
Yeah,
but that's
you're saying that the third Shisa also
building on the second.
That Bali Mumin, that's a Chiluk with Bali Mumin? Is that a two Chiluk?
No, I thought
the third sheet.
The second sheet was clear that Harama is an avoda, Hotza is not an avoda.
The Nafkamina Bali moment.
Nafkamina Begadim Chusim Eva.
And Bali moment.
And Bali, I guess. And Bali moment also.
No, the way I read that, the way I read Sekhshita
is... Avoda, but still...
I thought I was reading Sekhshita, we call Malcolm Tuna Big De Kahuna Chusim. It still means Big De Kahuna, albeit Chusim, the Ein Bali Mumim Osin Osa, and you can't have Bali Mumim by Otsa. Meaning Otsa has a requirement of Big De Kodesh and a requirement of Kohen Kasher,
so
but it allows...
The second day is
Chusim,
then
like that.
Yeah.
What is, so wait, how Otsa requires Begadim Chusim, the second one? No.
Yeah. Yes, that second day.
This is the Bali Mumin work.
Wow. No, so the third day, they're just saying that.
No, what do you think of the second day?
Truma Avoda Gemura, Begadim Chashuvim, that's Truma. What about Begadim Chusim? That doesn't apply to Truma. That only applies to Otsa, which Otsa is not Navoda. Even though it's not Navoda, it still needs Big De Kahuna, albeit Big De Kahuna Chusim. And you can't have Bali Mumin. Meaning, like Tosfos, it sounds like he's quoting Tosfos.
It's a form of avoda, but one with lesser begadim.
But he calls it in avoda. But yes,
right.
He calls
it
in avoda, but
in avoda.
Which is again Tosfos Shita, whatever you make of that. But if you take him at his word,
or
then
no, he says truma is avoda gemura,
and hotzah she'in avoda.
Right,
so I'm saying it's clear that he's
just not avoda. We could just
he's saying in avoda, but nevertheless, tuna big day kahuna.
Or Yeshmach, so the Yeshmach Reed goes on the second, or is it independent?
And so that's the question Yitzhar is raising, and the Nachman would be whether you would say that Hotsa is an Avoda or not.
Even Truma is not, is Begadim
Chusim. Right, and whether, yeah, and the Chusim Yeser, is that the difference between Avoda and not, or is that, or are they both Avoda, just the difference of Chusim? I think both readings are, I don't see a need to be Machri one or the other, but there's not such a big Nachman other than the Shema Avoda. And the fourth Tzad, the Yesh Mefarshim Shem Mikra Nidrash Leharama or Shlomo Shlom Nemar Begadim Chusim Ela Leharama. Right. So the whole at the end of the day, the whole discussion we have with the Tanakhama ends up applying only by Harama. Aval Hotzah Ena Tuna Bigde Kuhuna Sheena Avoda Elish Mikol Malchum Ein Bali Mumin Motzino. So by Harama though, it doesn't need Bigde Kuhuna. It's not Avoda at all. It's nothing except for special din. You can't have Bali Mumin. Can't have Balmum, that's some special din, it's not Navoda. And Harama, that's where we have the drush of Gadim Chusim. So I'm not sure exactly how you read the Gemara this way, because you sort of need different aspects of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer to apply only to Harama or only to Otsa. But somehow I think what you have to say is once we realize that Otsa is not Navoda and Harama is an Avoda, then we sort of need to restructure things and we end up with the Shita that right, that Begadim Chusim, somehow that carries over to Harama, right? Mikra Nidrash to Harama. I don't know how you get that. Right, well, it carries over and then only has application, right? Because Hotza is kicked out, so it's not Navoda. But you have Xeris Akasim. So it's an interesting reading. I don't know how we fit in the Shaka Tarya that well, but the way it comes out, you have that distinction. So I think this gives you a sense of the range. I don't think it's all the Shitos. The Mishnah Melech has a couple of other Shitos that come out, but I think we're going to pass on those right now. If those are interested, I can point you
what
to them.
The czar itself, that's one of the things that Jamal points out. Everybody agrees that you can't have a czar for either, but it's not so. It's
not so clear.
In the Rambam
and
the
Ramban on Chumash, right?
That
yeah.
The Malkus is only for Chumas Hadashim, right?
Yeah, and he's not sure about that.
Yes, Mikdash.
Yeah, yeah. So
the Rambam says that Chumas Hadashim doesn't get to be Misa.
Yes, let's see if we can read it.
Yeah, that's, I guess, that's what I'm, right. That's what I get for that, but.
do
you have any?
No, this is a separate, I printed out the Mishnah Melech, the Shas HaTzorech.
Not the Mishnah Melech, do you have the Rambam?
Oh, the Rambams are at the end. We'll hopefully get to Shitas and Rambam if things move.
Here, Rambam says, our Rambam says, actually, through the Kohen. So what's the din of Kotzah? Clearly also is not submitted bizarre.
Right.
But it sounds like I think that's one of the points that the Mishnah Melech makes is that it seems as if there's no malchus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Runs
Zarath, no Malkos, which would come out, right, would come out of how you read Rav Lazar. That would be part of the question of how you read Rav Lazar, and whether it carries over, and maybe at Tosfos, although you don't think that's relevant, but at least the Yerushalmi. But I think if there should, I want to move on to the to Kaftal Amud Aleph. First, very quickly, towards the top of the Amud Bayir of Avin, Trumas Hadeshen Bekama. We ask how much the shear is for Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Meiser Yalfinala or Trumas Midyan Yalfinala. Which other Trumas do we learn now from? Trumas Meiser, you don't know what that is, or Trumas Midyan, when they separated the spoils. Tashma, Tanir Bechia, Never Kan Beherim, Never Halam Nehe Beherim, Malahalam Mekunso, Afkan Mekunso. We have a Bryce Rechia, Legabe, Haramas HaMincha, five psukim later, and therefore it's a Kometz, and it sounds like we conclude that the shear of Haramas HaDeshen is a Kometz. Now, the numbers exactly, what numbers are, is Machlokes. Rashi says Trumas Meiser is 1 in 10. The Gersa, maybe it's 1 in 100, because you take from the original, not from the immediate thing you're separating from. Trumas Midyan, Rashi is 1 in 500. Rach raises the possibility it's 1 in 50. Find relevant for us, most relevant for us, Tosfos, towards the end, after talking about the numbers, raises the question, Aval Temali, Mai Shinad Lo Nisnapek, Mi Veher Mi Menu Bekumtso, Gamrina. Why is the question, why is the option of the harem of Korban Mincha not what we start with? I would have thought that's stage number one. That's the first thing. The Damila Tami Kula is closer to, than anything else. It says the word Beherim. I would add it's only Psukim away. The Rishami compares the two Dinim. The Ritva says, Midi Dimizbeach is on the Melach. It's better for that reason. There's so many reasons why it's a better thing to do. Mostly gives the answer, well, maybe it's. Maybe it's because you with your hand, you wouldn't be able to do this with your hand, you might get burned, as Rashi had pointed out. So he gives a technical answer. I wonder, though, if it's possible to say that it's really the Havmin of Maskana reflects different conceptions overall of what Trumas Hadeshen is and really what the word Trumas Hadeshen means. Because Truma can mean to separate, right? Torem, you can separate, mean mafresh. And Truma can also mean to offer something, right? Modern Hebrew certainly means that, but also, the Harim Menebekumso, it's an offering, almost like a tnufa. And maybe the Havamina was, we were assuming that this is not a hakrava, it's a hafrasha. And the Maskana, we're at least open to the possibility, it seems like we're fairly convinced of the comparison to a Karma Mincha, to the idea that it's even a hakrava. This would fit well with Rosh Hashanah Hirsch's Mahalach, of course, that's what he's drawing upon. But it makes you wonder whether the Havamina to Maskana here is more than just, the closeness in the language of the Psukim or something like that. Maybe there's also a conceptual point. In any event, however you take that question, the sugya following is very much about the conceptual issue of what exactly the avoda is. Rav and Levi have a machlokes, Ligabi, which avodos azar is chayev for? Amar Rav, arba avodos azar chayev leim, misa. Zrik hartara nisra mayim nisra yayim. Levi amar aftrumas adeshen. Chintin Levi masnisi aftrumas adeshen. What's the basis of Rav? My time with Rav, tziv ha'atu v'nechet itach tishmus kunasim, hold varmus beach meis v'roches, va'avatem, avodos tana tenis kunasim, azar karev yumas. Avodas matana velo avodas siluk. The Zarkar Vimas only applies in a case of avodas matana, a place where you're putting something on the mizbeah, as opposed to taking away from it. Think about zrika, haktara, nisuch of various sorts. That's a really a hakrava in the classic sense. You're putting something on the mizbeah. And vavatem avodatama. It needs to be complete at the end of a process. There's many stages of the process that leads to haktara or to zrika or something like that. Only the last stage you chay misa. Velo avodashi shakra avoda. Velevi. Rabbi Rachmana lechol dvar hamizbeach. Levi's a lot more liberal in terms of what he's willing to give misa for. Anything involving mizbeach. That's at least the literal meaning of his drasha. So the question, we have to ask a couple of questions here. For Rav, what exactly is the difference? What is avodat tama? That's not our issue right now, primarily, but what is avodas siluk? And how does it differ from avodas matana? And why is Trumas Hadeshen excluded? Right? Why is Trumas Hadeshen qualify for siluk? Why is Siluk bad? That's Rav. For Levi, how does Levi disagree? Does he have some very general view? The whole Dvar Mizbeach, anything related to Mizbeach gets you Misa? That seems a very low bar to only then include Trumas Hadeshen. Maybe he has something more than that. And how would it, maybe he's saying that it's Davka Avodas Siluk, but not other Avodas get in. Is there something special about Trumas Hadeshen that makes it in? Fine. So in terms of Rav, how we understand Avodas Siluk, it's possible to take Avodas Siluk in a very technical way. At least the way Rashi takes it, Avodas Matana Sha'atan, no sein al mizbeach. He puts it on mizbeach. Below Avodas Siluk, Sha'atan Mesaleh, Visar Me'al HaMizbeach. It almost sounds like you could read Rashi as saying it's really about directionality. If you're moving towards the mizbeach and putting down, or sort of moving back, And maybe it's just an empty Xeris Akasav with no deeper meaning, just about the, you know, the way you're moving. It's a little bit dachuk to understand it that way. Presumably it's deeper than that. And there's some deeper phenomenon in terms of the nature of an avoda that makes it not qualify for misa here. So what might that be? We could take, again, the binary approach. If it's siluk, it's not really an avoda. It's not really an avoda, and you can't be chayv misa. Ritva and Yuma, in the context of what's ma'akiv in a certain seder, he says, shayni otsas kapu ma'achta, she'ena el avoda siluk, ve'ena la kapara. And therefore it's not ma'akiv. So it sounds like, how does he know avoda siluk is not la kapara? It seems like there's no direct connection between siluk and kapara, right? Not everything that's avodas matana is kapara. Where does he get that from? You might say it's simply that if it's avoda siluk, it's not a real avoda. And how could it possibly be mechaper? How could it possibly be ma'akev? It's just not an avoda at all. Another way of getting to a similar place to say that avoda siluk is a non-avoda, the Dvar Avram has an interesting mahalak where he says it's really not about avoda siluk. We all talk about avoda siluk, it's a misnomer. Really, it's about not being avodas matana. Avoda siluk is just the absence of matana. And anything that doesn't have matana is not an avoda, at least for our purposes. So you could, I don't think you're committed to saying that people like the Dvar Avram, but at least that way of thinking about the sugya, that's not about asiluk, that's makia, rather it's lack of matana that sort of misses the mark, you could say that it's just not an avoda at all. And of course there are other approaches. You could say it's quantitative. It's an avoda, but it's not enough of an avoda. You have some avoda points, but not enough. We're going to see that within Shitas Levi. People who talk about it being avoda tama, it has some avoda points, but not enough. And alternatively, you could say it's a qualitative point. There's a certain quality to an avoda, of avoda siluk, that makes it not qualify for Misa. Right, the Me'iri, I think it's worth reading this, Mikol Makom Eino Chayiv Misa B'chol HaVodos El Vodos Yish B'Shnei Dvarim Echad Sh'Ovid Avodah Sh'Yigmar Inyana, right, Avodah Tama V'Inach Re'a Avodah Cheres V'Oso Inyan V'Acher, the other quality, She'a Avodah She'Oso Inyan She'Vo Oved Hu Nesinas Davar HaMizbeach. The quality of that Avodah is placing something on the Mizbeach. Aval Silat Davar Mimenu O Me'ez HaMakom Sh'Vikdash Kan Ramos Zashin Adiv Sh'Minar Ki Yotzeve Elu Av V'Shaloka Hu B'Kuvan Eino Chayiv Misa. But it sounds like he's defining the nature of the avoda, nesina stav ralam mizbeach. I think this may be pashtus in the sugya that only something that really is avoda, putting something on the mizbeach, gets you misa. That, in a sense, is the peak aspect of avoda. Real, the truest avoda is offering something to Hashem. Avoda is Hashem, and at the end of a process, you offer whether it's dam, whether it's basar, whether it's yayin, mayin. That's an avoda. That's something that a zar gets misa. Everything else is not quite that. That was sort of a quantitative formulation. You could say it's just simply the qualitative formulation, right? This is shechita doesn't get you misa. The shechita is not matana, or at least it's not tama. It's not a tama sort of matana. Fine. So that's for shechitas Rav, to shechitas Levi.
And but these things clearly are an avoda, at least in the typical sense of meaning. We definitely know that rechitas yivam or lime is needed for holacha, even though azar is not chai.
Well, holacha is not avoda siluk. Is it? Is there any reason to leave halacha as a vod asiluk? Right, I'm not talking about tama. I'm talking about the quality of vod asiluk. Right?
Okay.
Y'all, you understand about tama? A different discussion. We don't have time to discuss that. Moving to Shitas Levi. Levi, who says the whole dvar hamizbeach. So Rabbeinu, there's several different ways of understanding that drasha. Rabbeinu Chananel, the Levi Amar Avzesh Aharim Tumasesh Chayim Misur Nemer Dvar hamizbeach Vafilu Zeh the whole dvar hamizbeach. Even this, why? You could say very simply, this is relating to the Mizbeach, the whole Dvar Mizbeach. So even though it's it lacks something, it's siluk, let's say, it's still Dvar Mizbeach, it's good enough. At least that's one way of reading Reina Chananel. That's the low bar for Levi. You have to explain how everything else is kept out another time. Rashi has a different explanation. The whole Dvar Mizbeach, the Rabos Avodah Siluk, Im Avodah Tamahi. Rashi says, siluk is included if it's also Tama. Now, of course, this is true descriptively, that those are the conditions according to Levi, but you get the sense, according to Rashi, that if it was just siluk and not avoda tama, it sort of wouldn't be enough of an avoda. You could take this quantitatively to count, and it's a sheer in avoda. Something that siluk is less of an avoda, and it's not avoda enough to count. Tosfos Yeshanim, on the other hand, take the drush in a very different, or at least in somewhat different way. Rabbi Rachman lechol davar lirabos avoda siluk. The drusha itself, and it's not clear if this is his gersa of the Gemara, his gloss on the Gemara. The drasha itself includes avodas siluk, meaning it's not even siluk, as Rina Kron said, afilu zeh. It's dafka siluk, meaning there's almost two tracks. There's the track of avodas matana, and there's There's the Ramos of Avodah Tzilut also gets in as its own track, and maybe it really diverges significantly from Avodas Matana. It's not like, oh, it's a little bit less than Avodas Matana, but it's enough to get you in to have Misa Bazar. It has nothing at all to do with Avodas Matana. It's a totally different track to get you Misa Bazar. Those should be three different approaches to how to understand the drasha of Levi. And we'll get to that. Yes. So Rishonim raised the question of more time. We would have discussed that earlier. Rishonim raised the question about what about other avodos? Why do? So that's the question of what exactly that means. So I think we'll look at two different mahalchim and what siluk is. One the Griz and one based on my conversation with Rosenzweig on Thursday. So hopefully I'll get some version of it right, and if not, we can correct it. We'll start with the Griz. This comes up in the sugya, which I really don't want to get into in detail because it would take us far afield, but the sugya of Dishon HaMenorah. There seems to be a problem the Griz is dealing with, that Dishon HaMenorah is not included here as Echiv Misa, and it seems like there's two different reasons. In one place we say it's because it's not Tama, and another place we seem to say it's because it's Siluk. And that seems to be a stira, right? You only need one of those. Why do you need both of those reasons? And the Griz, unsurprisingly, says that it's because there's two different dinim to Dishon HaMenorah. And about halfway down the citation, that Dishon Jehu Machmas HaTavas HaNeros Ein Liftor Mishum Avoda Siluk Elo Miftor El Mishum She'ein Avoda Tama Kevan De'ika Achareha Adlakas Neros. So the Dishon that's preparing the Neros for their lighting, the preparation aspect, that's not Siluk. That is rather a lack of Avoda Tama, because you haven't lit it yet. It's a preparatory stage for the light. Avod mitzvahs dishon machmas hadeshen be'atzmo, de'ein zedin b'menorah, hi be'emes habi avodat tama. The mitzvah dishon that affects the deshen itself, meaning some sort of kiyum in the deshen of the menorah, whatever that would be, that is not leading to anything else. That is tama, but it's siluk. The deshen lo ye onachareh avoda lo mitzvah ramishim shu avoda siluk finis of rama. So according to the Griz, the definition of siluk is not the preparatory stage, but rather the kiyum itself, what we call the hakrava. As we said before in the Tosfos Rush, he was saying, well, Trumas HaDeshen is different because there's a hakrava there. And I think the way the Griz would take that is he would say there's a hakrava there, and that's a different sort of siluk. Maybe that's, you know, classic siluk. That's the real siluk. The real siluk is where there's a hakrava. Now, it's not so mashma from the word siluk. I would have thought siluk to be opposite of hakrava, but leaving that question aside, it's siluk because you're picking it up and moving it aside, but even though the kiyum is in that deshen of the menorah or the mizbeach, according to the Griz, that's where the kiyum is, and that's siluk, and maybe that's what the Tosfos Rush means. The Rav in Shiria Grid has the same chiluk in terms of dishon haMenorah without talking about siluk at all. He just says that, we're not going to read it inside, Dishon HaMenorah, there's two aspects, one of which is a hakrava and one of which is preparatory. He doesn't tie this to Avodah Siluk, so there's no reason to believe he holds the Griz, especially given the problematic Lashon. But this seems to be a classic Brisker Mahalik, if we have Shnei Eidim Ne'emanim. So that's approach number one to what Siluk is, the Griz. Second Mahalik, from the Rav Rosenzweig, but first the question.
Yeah, so for Tosa Rush, I don't see why you need to say that Siluk is hakrava.
He definitely doesn't say it. I was saying that the Griz might use the Tosfos Rush that way. Yeah.
Okay. Why couldn't you just say that the problem generally with Avodah Siluk is that being an Avodah Siluk indicates that it's just being done for pragmatic purposes? Right? You have to get rid of the Kapumat.
Like the opposite of the Griz.
Sure. I'm not.
Right. The Griz says it's Siluk if there's a Kiyum in it itself, as opposed to just clearing it away for something else. Because if you're clearing away for something else, then it's not about a Tama.
Yeah, so, right, I mean,
that's the Griz.
More or less, I mean, not, he's focusing right on preparing for something. I'm just talking about the technical purpose of the Avodah itself.
Mm-hmm.
Kapamata is not preparing for anything, but the it being Avodah Sila tells you it's only being done because I have to get static. Whereas Truma Sadeshan, we don't have to be calling it a Hakrava, but its status as an Avodah Siluk isn't indicative of Tzarim in the Avodah per se. And Hashem told you that it was true. There's no technical purpose being achieved here. It's something that we're supposed to do.
It's a Kiyum Ba'atzmo.
Yeah, of whatever that is.
Of Sila.
But it doesn't have the regular technical downgrading of Avodah Sila.
Right, you're saying usually something that seems to be for some purpose other than the main one, we say that siluk, that's not a real hakrava, that's downgraded.
No.
Whereas some of the siluk, is itself the point, and that's why they would have Misa Bizar, let's say. That's your hara, or?
Basically, I mean, I'm not saying what the siluk, I don't think Tosa Rush is telling you what the siluk is.
That's fair, I wasn't saying that was Pshat in Tosa Rush, I was saying that would, could be used, that's a resource for the Grizz to work with, for that formulation. I think you can easily read the Tosa Rush otherwise. For Rosenzweig's Mahalach, again, based on our conversation last week, so I hope I'm doing it well, is that Siluk is really, in a sense, is not about removing per se, it's not about, definitely not about the Kiyum per se, which doesn't become the question of Siluk. It's sort of the transition on the Mizbeah. So in a sense, you're starting from the previous day, you're clearing it away, and you're preparing for the next day. That's transition, that's Siluk. And that both prepare, you know, that's both a Kiyum in the previous day, in a sense, is a Kiyum in the next day. As we're going to see in the Gemara in a moment, that's how it can both be called Avodas Laila and Tchilas Avodas Yamama. It both has an aspect of night reflecting transition, and being the beginning of the day, starting things moving for the next day. That might be a reason why we Dafka have a Baal Mum. That's a bit harder to say, or certainly the Dafka have Prusim, or Dafka have Begadim Acherim. It's not quite the same as other Avodos. That's true for those having a Baal Mum or Begadim is true for Hotzah, according to some, and may even be true for Harama. This Mahalach works for both, to different degrees, according to different Shittos. Meaning, Hotzah, I guess, is the fullest, the more technical side of the Siluk. You're literally removing the things from the Mikdash. But the Harama, as well, may have, and as we see with Levi, that's where the formulation appears, may have the other side, has both sides of the coin, is both removing what was there previously, but also is preparing the new day. And I think on this Mahalach, it's less about some sort of hakrava itself of the Deshen, and it's more the process of transition between the two days. So on this Mahalach, the Tosas Rush actually doesn't quite work as well, because according to Tosos Rush, he's trying to say that the fact that there's a kiyum in the deshen itself makes it more likely to be Misa Bizar, whereas this would say that's not really the point. The point is, this Malach would say that the point is the transition, and that aspect of cleaning out from the previous day to the next day is why it's an avodah and Misa Bizar. And then the machlokas between Rav and Levi would be that Levi says, l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach includes Avodah Siluk, that even though I would have thought, you know, just Muskel Rishon, I would have thought Avodah Siluk, not so important. It's a technical thing you need to do. Kamash Malan, there's a real Kiyum of Siluk, the transition and the preparation and the shift from one day to the next is a core aspect of what Avodah and the Mikdash is. It relates to the Mizbeach. It's all about the Mizbeach. It's about preparing the Mizbeach. And that's why Levi would say that there's Misa Bizar. Is that somewhat of a representation of the Shita? Okay.
I assume I'm not alone that I haven't done mitzvah.
The person to question.
Is there, what's the end time?
I'm happy to agree. I would love to you to continue after mitzvah.
Yeah, we can do that. We have a mitzvah.
We do. We have.
There's going to be a meeting at 4 o'clock, like right down the hall. So.
Anyway, so you might say the Chabura snowball.
But you at least still cut those, right?
I think you have a little further trouble to get back to
Okay, so, okay.
Not more than Queens, is it?
Distance-wise, yes. Traffic complicates the Cheshire. But if, okay, if we can pick up, we are, yeah, so we're moving to the sugya on Kav Zayin Amud Beis. Zar and Lila part two. So, right, it's about Lila and it's about Pius and the relation to Chiv Misa Vizar and Trumas Hadeshen. So in some sense, we'll rehash some of the issues of Kav Beis, we'll also develop them a bit further. Amr of Asi, Amr of Yochanan, Zar Shasidur Samaracha Chayav. And it's always beside Marathas Chayav, Ketzin of Osef, or Kivichos of Sodra, Mayahanile, fine. How do you fix it? Fine. Maskevla Reb Zera, Chieshlecha Avoda Shekshera Belailo, Psula Bizar. Reb Zera says, how could it be? Is there such a thing as an Avoda that's Shekshera Belailo and yet Psula Bizar? We're not going to get into this whole discussion as to whether we're actually talking about Psula Bizar, whether we're talking about Misa Bizar, which is how we had started off. Most Rishonim seem to take it as Misa Bizar. There's a Rashi that may go otherwise, but even Rashi doesn't mean it, I think. We're not going to discuss that. So is there such a thing as an avodah k'shera b'layla and has misa bizar? Well, below is that maybe there is. Very avar mupadarim, that's avodah layla and misa bizar, or at least psula bizar. So avodah diyamama. No, that's not really night, that's not really layla, that's the end of the day. V'ayir trumas hadeshen, tchilas avodah yamama. Trumas hadeshen, that's the beginning of the day. So that's not really layla either, so neither of those are counter examples. And again, just as we did on Kav Beis, we bring the Raya, the Mariyasi, and Rabbi Yochanan, Kidesh Yadav of Trumas Hadeshen, the Macharein of Tzarech LeKadesh, Yigmar Kidesh Mitzchil Avodah. Doing Kidesh Yadayim before Trumas Hadeshen counts for the whole day. That shows Trumas Hadeshen is Tchilas Avodas Yimama. It's not Avodas Laila, and we don't have the objection to the question of Rabbi Zera, the Elakashtra. Rabbi Zera's question stands, and we have a problem with our original formulation. Then the Gemara is going to go on and say it's really about Zara Shasidar Snake Zira Eitzim. That's later in the sugya. So, So that's our tzad here with the ikker question, our ikker point, the question of Reb Zera, that avodas laila has no misa. How can avodas laila have misa bizar? The straightforward way of understanding that is that avodas laila is not really an avoda or not such an avoda in whatever way, and that's why it can't have misa bizar because misa bizar presumes that it's really an avoda in some sense. And when we asked about Trumas Hadeshen, we were saying, isn't Trumas Hadeshen, we presume Trumas Hadeshen was avodas laila, and thus not a real avoda. And the Maskana, we said, no, Trumas Hadeshen actually is more of an avoda. It seems to be that, the straightforward way of understanding the shock of the target there. So the question is, is that really the way of reading it? Is it really a question about whether laila is an avoda or not? Or maybe it bypasses that question of avoda. You might understand it's really just a question about whether, really, as we said, whether avodas laila it has misa bizar or not. Rashi's lashon, he says, "Vari trumas hadeshen." He doesn't say trumas hadeshen, which is not really an avoda, but yet it has misa bizar. He says dechziv kahuna. It sounds like Rashi's not getting into the question of avoda or not so much, at least not explicitly. And maybe you can say not mukhrach, but at least the possibility of saying that. That we really bypass the question of avoda, but again, more likely the question is about avoda. Formulation in the Ritzvah, the Kevin Ksheira Balaila, Lake of Mechsheva, avoda, Kulihai, Lechayev, Al Hamisa. Again, that Kulihai, is that a quantitative Svara, or maybe a qualitative one, but because it's Laila, it's not enough of an avoda to be Chayev Misa. That seems to be a formulation here. Tosas Yeshanim. Just in general, I would say most likely this Ritva is a sliding scale. I think there are many formulations between the Tosafot Yeshanim and the Ritva who themselves share a lot of things that fit the sliding scale theory, but we're not going to go through all of them right now. But one of them, here we have the Lashon of the Ritva was Kuli Hai. There's a Tosafot Yeshanim who says Chashiva Savoda Kol Einba Chashiva Savoda Kol Kach. Those formulations that say, you know, it's not so much. If they don't give a qualitative svara, I think are best read as quantitative svaras. That's we can work that out another time. But that really the bigger question in the Rishonim is how exactly we define avodas laila. Assuming avodas laila is lacking some quality of avoda, completely or some quantitative or qualitative aspect, what exactly is avodas laila? Recall that we shift in our understanding of Trumas Hadeshen where we assume it's avodas laila and then we say no, it's tchilas avodas yamama. That seems to be what shifts between the Havamina and the Maskana. So what exactly changed? Again, structurally, it may be our understanding of Avodas Laila, it may be our understanding of Trumas Hadeshen, It's maybe less likely that our understanding of true succession changed, especially because we already went through the motions of this sugya, parts of the sugya on kafes. So I'd say at least the main place to look would be whether our understanding of avodas laila changed. Now, in the Havamina, what's the definition of avodas laila? It seems like anything that's even possibly kosher at night would be an avodas laila. That sounds like that was our presumption. And so then when we reject that, we could be rejecting one of several things. We could say, well, it's not, you know, really one of two big things, big adult. We could say it's a, you know, some sort of quantitative difference. It's not that it's ever kosher b'laila, it's avodas laila, even if it needs to be some of the time, it needs to be most of the time, or ikar time, right? So it could be a quantitative shift as to how much laila it's kosher in order to be defined as avodas laila. The alternative we'll see is that it's not really about when it is as much as its essence, its definition. Just look at some shittos on that. In terms of the ikar time being at night, if we, the Rambam, we're going to look at the Rambam in more detail soon, but the Rambam seems to say that Trumas HaDeshen is actually primarily Bayom, which maybe he gets from our sugya. Rambam says, Amos I torment HaDeshen b'chol yom, ish'yal amud ha-shachar. Sounds like after it's daytime, after yal amud ha-shachar, we do Trumas HaDeshen, with exceptions for Regalim and Yom Kippur. But it sounds like, you know, 90% of the time or whatever it is, Trumas HaDeshen is actually Bayom. So maybe that's one way of reading the Maskana, that we say, no, actually it's really Bayom very often, especially if you compare the Rambam to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a lot more Hamish. It doesn't say, it says, Kol Yom Tormenis HaMizbeach B'Kriyas HaGeber, O Samach Lo, Bein Lefanav, Bein La'achar, around, Kriyas HaGeber, before, you know, it's a Hamish enterprise. The Rambam says, no, it actually has to be, most of the time it is by day, and maybe that's how the Rambam reads the Maskana. This would go against Tosfos and Lamed Gimel, who says actually the opposite. Yesh Lomar Trumas HaDeshen, Ikar Mitzvasa, Rak B'Laila, which could mean different things, but I think the straightforward meaning, especially Tos L'Shitaso elsewhere, that it sounds like that it's kosher maybe even all night, and it sounds like just the primary, the most likely time to do it is at night. You may understand that that's the machlokas between Rambam and Tosfos. In that case, the Tosfos wouldn't be able to accept the Rambam's answer, assuming Ikar Mitzvasa is just talking about, you know, when it is in the quantitative, but there's an alternative approach that it's not about the exact times, it's about the essence, and you know, that may, you could say Tchilas Avodas Yamama means it's not that it often happens during the day, it's that it's sort of part of the day, it's preparatory for the day, it's defined as the day. The Ritva has a formulation, she'en kei mitrumas hadeshen she'eno nasa la'olam ela litzorech avodas hayom uvahas chalasa. It's bashalas hayom, but that's relevant because it's preparatory for the yom, and then you might say that defines avodas trumas hadeshen as avodas yom. It's not when it is, even if it always happened at night, it's preparatory for the day, therefore it's defined as part of the day. This fits well for a siluk, the siluk mahalach we mentioned earlier. If transition is the transitional stage, that totally makes sense. You define it, maybe it's a certain approach to siluk that makes it closer to the next day than the previous one. I don't know if you even have to say that, but at least you define it as part of the day because it prepares for it. Ah, so saying for the Mishnah, you do it before or after, it doesn't really matter when, because it's about the transition.
Right.
Right. So, right, even Lila itself is about transition, but before or after, interesting.
That would save you from Mordechai having to ask you what time is, how you define time is.
That's true. Right. Also, we have to have Machlokas Hamish versus Hamish. That's worth discussing too. Yes.
Bringing it back to the Rambam timing of when there's a transition.
I mean, maybe we'll mention it, but probably not in detail. Do you have a Hara on that? Okay, I think that's not shot in the Rambam.
But
I think it's a posture in the Rambam. You admit it. That's
the
word said. What? Okay.
If you don't end the parish, sorry.
If I agree with you, this chabur is deficient and should have addressed those sugyas as well. And but Mishum Tsar Bali Chaim, we avoided it. I hear. If I were Oseg more in that sugya, I'd have to reconcile that. I think the Rama fits very well with the sugya Kaf Zayin. The Rama read Kipchuto, they have Tchilas Yimama means.
Rabbi Yochanan is telling you if you did a Kirshid Amar Goyim, it's kosher after. That's what it means, Tchilas Yimama. That means you did the.
Well, that's those, there's a different Lashonas, right? Kaf Beis versus Kaf Zayin. Is it itself Tchila or not?
The first Lashon and the second Lashon, Shkvar Kidma Be Kiddush, was that you did Kiddush at night prior to it.
I don't think the Rama would read it that way.
The
I don't see.
The two Lashon Gemara Mafurish that.
An Ar Sugya on Kav Zayin. Amr Yochanan Kiddush Yadav the Trumas Hadeshen, according to the Rambam, after Alos Lemachar Einot Tzara.
Otherwise, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean anything.
You're saying the word Lemachar.
Telling you a Kiddush, Kiddush Yadav Raglayim at Alos usually has its mean on its puzzle, like Rabbi Shita in Zvah.
So maybe Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a theoretical scenario, the unlikely scenario we did from Sedeshin early, even though it's not generally it's Ikr's Man. That maybe that would be a way of solving it.
That's the Gemara is trying to say from Rabbi Yochanan, we show you when the Ikr's Man, the Dafka is.
Since it's usually Bayom, therefore even if you do it a little bit before, we still are Machshav. That may be part of the story. Maybe I'll integrate that. We can discuss that maybe offline. I do think leaving aside the Rabbi Yochanan point, the Gemara's shift to say it's Tchilas Avodah Yimama seems to fit well with the Rambam, and as we saw in terms of the Zman itself, as we saw in the Ritva, it's the qualitative issue of Litzorech Avodas Yom Uvahas Chalasso. Now, there's a discussion in the Rishonim as to whether this question here about Trumas Hadeshen being Avodas Laila and not being and therefore not having Misa Bizar, whether that's only a question within Levi, who says the Trumas Hadeshen is Misa Bizar, or even according to Rav, who, as we saw, says that because it's Avodas Siluk, it is no Misa Bizar. So according to Rav, isn't this redundant? We'd be saying, both because it's Siluk and because it's Balayla, there's no Misa Bizar. That's redundant. So is this whole Sugya only according to Levi or also according to Rav? Machlokas Rishon and Ritva Tosas Rush say it's for Levi, but also for Rav, because Rav only said that there was no Misa because of Avodas Siluk. But Lule, the fact that it was Avodas Siluk, maybe he would have to contend with this question of Tawila. Rabbeinu Yakim, on the other hand, says the question is only for Levi, and he leaves out Rav from the Shach Vitaria. What's this Machlokas about? Now, it could just be, you know, like what's more likely talking about, how much do we want to think about what Rav would have held Lule, the fact that it was Avodas Siluk. I do think, though, that if you take the Mahalach, Rosh like Mahalach and Siluk, that Siluk is about transition, which really overlaps significantly with the question of Laila. Maybe there is no lule for Rav. What would it even mean to consider it not as Avodas Siluk, but Avodas Laila? Avodas Laila is part of the definition of Siluk, so it may be harder. There may be a way to fit it in, but at least it may be harder to raise that question. So maybe that's Mdiyuk as explaining Rabbeinu Eliyakim. Later in the Gemara, we're going to talk about pious. The Gemara has a new approach, a new suggestion as to what about what the Rabbi Yochanan's statement was. Elki Idmar Hachid, Rav Amar Rav Simon Yochanan. Zar Shesider Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. If it's Bayom, it should need pious. It should be say Tanya actually does have pious. Lememra da avodas yom baya pious. Avodas laila lo baya pious. Does that mean that based on Rava's assertion that only avodas yom needs pious, avodas laila doesn't need pious? That's what laila has pious. So avodas yomami, no, it's really part of the day. Turas hadeshen, yishum ma'isa shahaya. So right, our question was why doesn't Trumas hadeshen? So does Trumas Hadeshen, it's Laila, so why does it need pious? And we answer, not like we said in the previous Lashon, in Atzchilas Avodas Yimama, we say, because of the Maaseh Shehaya, people got hurt once, we wanted to protect them, right? As we saw in Kaf Beis, the question of how to conclude on Kaf Beis was whether, at the end of the day, it actually was Yimama or not. And again, here, it's at issue between the two Lashonos here, potentially, as to whether at the end of the day we say that that Trumas Hadeshen is Avodas Laila or not. So how we conclude on that, we'll get to that in a minute. First, we should ask what the connection is between pious and yom / misa, right? The assumption that if it's Avodas Yom and there's a chi of misa, then it has pious. Rashi seems to say two different things. Rashi, Dirasa Elamiata, Elamiata the Hashiva Kuli Hai, Shehi Avodas Yom Vizar Chayev Alei. If we say and Azar's Chayev Misa, then it should need pious. So it sounds like that's Avodas Yom Zar and right and Zar's Chayev, then it needs pious. So at least one of the factors there sounds like it's a the Zar. It's not just that it's Avodas Yom, it's number one Avodas Yom. Number two, the fact that Zar is Chayev. The next thing we're asking here, remember that Avodas Yom Bali Pais means the Iskif Rava Elamiata Bali Pais, Michlal Ha Avoda. That sounds like it's really about avoda, and it leaves out the question of zar. So you could say that the whole question of zar being chayiv misa is just a shear and avoda, all right? It's a simon. How much of an avoda is this? And if it's enough of an avoda, zar is even chayiv misa, then we do pious. That's, I think, the more straightforward way of explaining the sugya. However, there's a formulation in Tosfos that I think, you know, Rashi was sort of unclear. I think probably the easiest way of explaining Rashi is really about avoda, and zar is a shear. But Tosfos may have a formulation that really sounds like it's about the Chiyuv Misa. Tosfos Yeraskel Lememra towards the end, V'hadar Parich Mitrumas Hadeshen Isfir Leke Rav Delo V'chayet Zar Avoda Siluk. We hold like Rav. Zar is not chayet for Siluk, right, because it's Siluk. Alma Afal Gav Delo M'chayet Zar Allah Bai Pais. Then we see that even though a Zar is not chayet Misa, it still needs a Pais. Now, he doesn't say that it's, he's only saying this for Rav. He's not really about the quality of the avoda, it sounds like, because why is there a need to invoke Rav? Right? If it's about the quality of the avoda, we said not so obvious, but presumably, Rav and Levi more or less agree on the quality of avodas trumas hadeshen. They disagree about whether that's sufficient to create misa bizarre. The fact that Tosfos is dafka bringing in Rav for the questionnaire and saying even though there's no misa, it needs pious, that may indicate that the ikar point here is the misa rather than the avoda. Again, not mukrach, but at least it's a possible way of reading this, and the Ritva says Ikar Pircha Mishum Chiyuv Misahi. So that definitely seems to be a shita among the Rishonim. And how exactly would we explain that? So I had a speculative idea, and I don't know if it's right. So I expect fully to be attacked. But here's the thought: is that again, this is assuming that Misa Chiyuv Misa Bizar controls the question of whether there's a need for pious or not. And that it's not just a function in avoda. It's not just a simon of how much in avoda. It's not just a shir in avoda. It's dafka the fact that there's a chiyuv misa. So maybe the tzara shavi here between the chiyuv misa and the pious is the question of exclusivity, of narrowing down who can do the avoda. So maybe avodos where there's even misa bizarre, we take who does it so seriously as to even give misa bizarre, we need to also take seriously which of the kohanim does it to the point of doing a pious. I think when we spoke, Rosberg said maybe there's a din of minui by pious, some special aspect of pious to create that. I probably should spend time looking into that, seeing if there's other formulations of that. What I did find is, by the case of Shechita, there may be another diuk in this direction. As we know, Shechita has pious, Mishochet, right? But Shechita is, famously, as was discussed earlier in the Chabura, Kshera Bizar. So how does that work? So a few people discuss this, the Chomer Bakodesh, which is the Tiferes Yisrael. This is a footnoted edition if anyone wants. Anyway, so he discusses this question. Ufinias daiti, may I time a nami lo inicho hokach binaklus lazar lishko bekarvin tzibur. He was talking about how we want to have good yichus by whoever who shechts, and maybe that's why they tried to avoid having a zar shecht. Darei hedetinia dafisu mishochem izoche mimi zorek. Darei lo matzinu hafasa biyisrael. What does this mean? If shechit is kasher bizar, how is there a pious? There's no such thing as a pious by Yisrael. Pious always involves kohanim. El al karcha ketosvos the im anich and lishko raf miyuchasin. Maybe it's because we dafka want someone who's miyuchas to shech. Yisrael and Morgal and the osbikiyim behem biyuchusan. Yisrael don't really know yichus. That's probably a typo on my part. Masha enkin kohanim bezin yoshim tamu bokan achar yichus. Kohanim, we know they have good yichus. So I think the svar he's raising here is that pious is controlled not by Kohen versus Yisrael per se, although that's a relevant factor, but it's really about yichus, really about exclusivity. And because we want to make sure we get the right person to do it, by shechita, the right person doesn't mean a Kohen, it means a Yisrael, let's say, at least. But because we want to get the right person to do it, we raise our standards and have a pious for a special minui of sorts. Another formulation of the Meiri that may or may not fit with this, this, I think, is different than what the former quarter says, but maybe you can make this fit as well. Since we lechachila want a kohen, even though it's not psua bizarre, but the fact that we want a kohen, that's why, you know, we have that sense of exclusivity. We dafka want a kohen, even though it's not a real chiyuv, even though it's definitely no chiyuv misa, but that's why we'd have pious. So I think both them, both these cases show that it's not, that the pious is not a function of the avoda and needing a kohen. It's a function of exclusivity, whether it's about yichus or whether it's about preferring a kohen, but not in the sense of formally requiring one as avoda. I mean, these are other formulations, I think, that point to this idea that a connection between pious and chiyuv misa for us in our sugya is lav dafka about avoda. Hope there's no okay. I assume I'm probably wrong, but yeah. Mishum Maisa Shahaya. That's the Gemara's conclusion, Mishum Maisa Shahaya. But we're going to get to that in a moment, whether we actually hold like that. Whether that's relevant, whether that's sort of an answer we gave, just sort of off the cuff, but it's not really true halacha.
And also, if it's true that it should be based off of this, what was the Gemara's question at the beginning of the parrot, when he asked, Bahami Kara, my time of the Rabban of Paisa, by Shema Sadesh? I mean, what's that Hamina based on? Why would you assume that Shema Sadesh should have had a Chiyuv Misa if it's a question of you need to have exclusivity, you need to have somebody behind Misa? So,
I mean, one thing you could say is there's a sort of progression throughout the parrot, and we only get to that point once we understand some new things. That would be one way out of that. Right, or, you know, or just to call that in that sugya, we weren't assuming this just yet, and we introduce it in our sugya. That's sort of a technical way out. If there's another way out, I haven't thought of it. But those are important things to consider. As I said, this is, you know, not the straightforward vort, so there'll probably be a lot of challenges to it, and may or may not be defensible. No other challenge?
The opposite idea, that maybe Zar doesn't require a vote at all, but Zar is a function of the requirement of specifically calling, even when there's no vote.
That Zar, the Psul Zar, the Misa Zar, is a function of calling even
for Levi.
Ah, that Levi is a din in Zar, and that's because the whole farm is Bea. That means
and whether anything has to having to do with the Mikdash Dinim that require calling.
And Misa Bizarre is telling them whether it's something that qualifies Kohen.
Even if it isn't, not at all. Not that the cold farm is bad. It's Marfif the Hadara of Kohen.
Right, so I think we raised at the beginning that the cold farm is bad could be some general thing. Rebbe, you're suggesting that it's more specific than it's not the cold farm is bad, the cold farm is bad, but okay, the Kohan, or something like that. Uh-huh. And would that help here? Would that clarify?
How do you explain the key? But do you have to assume that when the lady, that the keys are Misa?
Do you assume currently that the keys are Misa by Trumas by
Transadation?
Without, I mean, that was the.
That means the Transadation is an avoda of some sort.
Ah. Right, so I think, yeah, so you're saying within that. And then when you get to here, lady never held that it was an avoda, or maybe.
Right.
And no one holds it's an avoda. And then, right, the problem is our sugya, right, I guess then the sugya is talking about what? Is just talking about the Misa. Right, Misa Bizarre, and that would really detach Robin Levy from this whole sugya.
Right.
It's really, yeah, interesting. Yeah.
You know, just, I don't know, this the Rambam, I think in his order of the Bayashimi, has Zori first.
Before Shochet.
Shchita
doesn't seem to fit, right? Yeah, I hear. It's a problem. Yeah. All right, so that's the end of that sugya. Quickly, and this is not in the Makoros sheets because it was like a last-minute thing, but I figure we're learning Maseches Yuma, so probably just talk a little bit about Yom Kippur. Sounds reasonable, right? So luckily, this happened. So the sugya we did, Rav Willig did this at length, the question about what the Kohen Gadol has to do on Yom Kippur. The Baal HaMor famously says, Kol Avodas Yom Kippurim Einok Sheiro B'Kohen Gadol. People take that to its logical extreme because it's better for having Machlokos with him. It's not clear exactly what he meant, but at least the way he's taken, it sounds like he holds everything. Would that include Trumas HaDeshen, presumably? And of course, the raya, right? The raya is that he says the pious is right, the fact that we say mishoche, mizorik. That's he says those are all not about Yom Kippur. It's sort of a carryover from Maseches Tamid that's here and doesn't really doesn't belong here. It belongs here literarily, but not in terms of being about Yom Kippur. And the Rambam says that's not true. There are each of the four payasos has at least one thing that's relevant here. Ain safik shehapayas harishon shutrimus hadeshen hol v'hu kasher kodem chatzos eino avodas Yom Kippurim ela avodas laila the eino koin gadol klal shlo nitnu l'koin gadol nasnu l'koin gadol ela avodas hayom. The Rambam says trimus hadeshen definitely you can have a zar do it because it's kasher even before chatzos. So how could you possibly say it's part of avodas hayom? And they only gave him avodas hayom. So when he says avodas hayom, that could mean one of two things. Avodas yom versus avodas laila. It could mean avodas laila in the sense of not really an avoda, not really a part of the, not really an ikar avoda, or it could mean not part of avodas yom kippur, meaning it could be it's perfectly fine in itself. It just doesn't count as avodas yom kippur. And the fact that he says before chatzos. Seems more likely that it lacks the integration into Avodas Yom Kippur. It's a bit harder to say that, 1201 versus 1159 determines whether it's a real Avodah or not. Presumably it's about the connection to Yom Kippur. The Ritva brings in his own Shita, where he's trying to find a Hechitimtza where a Tsar would do Avodah. And one of his options is Meshkachas Lavetrumas Hadeshen, Shekshir B'Koin Hedyot, Lefishi Avodas Laila, to the Isla Kaman. So he also says, and the Hechitimtza, because of what is Laila, you might have a Kohen Hedyot do it. I think he'd prefer the Kohen Gadol to do it, but a Kohen Hedyot can do it. Maybe you'd say the fact that he seems to prefer the Kohen Hedyot, he's like begrudgingly saying maybe he prefers the Kohen Gadol to do it, begrudgingly allows the Kohen Hedyot to do it. Maybe he would say, indeed, it is part of what is Yom Kippurim. It's just Laila, it's sort of a lesser avodah that we can leave it out. It's not the end of the world. It's just quantitatively or qualitatively, it's less than other avodahs, but it still is equally part of Yom Kippur. He also quotes the Rashmi Shantz. Right? Since Yom Kippur, we start early. He says, no, Ach Trumas Hadeshen Eina Ela B'Kohen Gadol. Right? His idea from that, the Kohen Gadol must be the one doing it. That's how we start early. The Sof Sof, Hechsher Avodas Hayom, he, Rashmi Shantz quotes, sounds like our Gemara. It's Hechsher Avodas Hayom. It's the Chilas Yimama Hechsher. That's the Ritva's quoting the Rashmi Shantz. The Ritva was the one who said, Chilas and Hefsher Avodas Yom, right? The qualitative point that Trumas Hadeshen, regardless of when it happens, in this case it happens very early, happens in Mechatzos, the point is that it's integrated into the Avodas Yom, which presumably is sufficient, right? Again, you might say that there's two different factors here. One is whether it's integrated into the Avodah of Yom Kippur. The other question is whether it happens during the Yom versus the Laila, both in general and on that particular day. You might say you need both, you might say you need one. This Mahal seems to assume, even though it's really Chatzos, maybe not before Chatzos, but at least right after Chatzos, it seems like it's Laila in terms of the timing, but qualitatively it's Avodas Hayom. That's the Rashmi Shantz. The Rambam has a Lashon, he says, all the Avodos of all the 15 Behemos over the Kohen Gadol, V'chein Shar Avodos Hayom Zeh, like Haktaras Haktores and Atavas HaNeros, Hakol Asu Kohen Gadol. Now the question is, well, the Rambam, is it all avodos? What exactly does that mean? Kol avodos, shar avodos shel yom zeh. And the Rambam is very clear in his lashon in Dalet Aleph, b'chatzos hayom mefaisin l'trumas hadeshen, mesaros ha'maracha, and these are all non-Kohen Gadol things. And then shebiyaru achi yagil shchidus hatamid, and then the Kohen Gadol does it. And then they put the siddin up, and they get the whole stage set. So for the Rambam, it's clear trumas hadeshen is not with the Kohen Gadol. But why is that? Is it because it's not? Is it because it's Laila and not sufficient? But it sounds more likely Shar Avodas Shel Yom Zeh. He says it's not integrated into the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. That would be the deal from here. The problem is we just saw in the Rambam, it sounded like it's a quantitative question, because it happens by Laila. And here it sounds like maybe it happens by Laila, but then why does he need that formulation, Shar Avodas Shel Yom Zeh? So there may be a bit of a tension. I would say more likely if what we saw in Beis Yud Aleph, if that was the number, that it's that about when it happens, that would seem to be the controlling aspect. The Rav in his essay on this raises the question about, right, he says maybe there's maybe you might have sort of like a halfway involvement of Avodas Yom Kippurim, that if it happens, even though it's not integrated fully into the Avodas Hayom, which would go against what we saw in our sugya on some Mahalchim, it's not fully integrated into the Avodas Hayom, but still it's good enough because it's on the day of Yom Kippur, assuming, let's say, the day starts after Chatzos or something like that. So then you would need to do it with the Kohen Gadol, but sort of in a different way. You wouldn't have all the Kiyumim. You'd sort of be a Chiyah without the full fulfillment of the Avodas Hayom, and maybe there'd be a Nafkamina in terms of needing Tfilos and Kiddushin again. That was one of the Rabban's questions, that if you do Tfilos and Kiddushin for Trumas HaDeshen, which is sort of Avodas Yom Kippur, but not really, maybe you'd need it again, because real Avodas Yom Kippur is qualitatively different. There's an interesting chiddush that builds upon some of the things in our sugya. That was sort of the excursus side point to make this, other than the fact that it is almost all the second parak, to make the shayach to Masefes Yuma. And, yeah, any questions or thoughts on that? Okay. Just move to sort of a general point, looking at sort of some general mahalchim overall between the sugyas, some unifying theories. I mentioned, right, the Tosafot Yeshanim and Ritva, at least as I read them, often talk about the sliding scale quantitative definition of avodah. It has more of this, a little bit less of that. It's chashuv, it's chashuv kol kach. I think that's one way of reading all the sugyas, and you know, you'd have to work out the details in each case, but really everything is just one big quantitative sliding scale of avodos, and that seems to, I think that works, especially there's so much flexibility within each of the sugyas, you can make it work. As we mentioned, Rav Rosenzweig's Mahalach in terms of siluk as transition ties into really all the sugyas, the question of Lila versus Yom, especially about the role of Lila rather than the timing of Lila, although the timing is relevant too. Siluk versus Matana, that's the Iker sugya, whether it qualifies as an avoda in all the different cases. It's not really about whether it's an avoda or not, but what type of avoda it is. The middle categories, you know, things that sort of are an avoda, like Baal Mum, having two begadim, which we didn't really talk about, but that may be relevant too, having a lower quality begadim, and both for Hotza and for Harama in each of their cases, those are relevant. Those are all relevant, and that's sort of a unifying theory. I'd say the Grizz would have a harder time making Siluk be a unifying theory, but I don't know of any other qualitative unifying theories that really work throughout, but you'd have to really develop them beyond the Siluk one. What we saw, I think, is that in each sugya you can say it's about avoda, you can say it's not about avoda. So if you say all the sugyas are not about avoda, each one's its own standalone question. That's a very easy way of resolving the sugya. Not too interesting, but it's sort of a technical way of saying each one is not shy to the bigger question. Each one's its own, you know, each one's an olam male. That's another way out. The Yerushalmi takes the opposite approach. The Yerushalmi, really, everything's squeezed into one sugya. I gave like the shortened version of the Yerushalmi, just like the Iker questions, but it manages to discuss questions of Laila, Zar, Avodas Matana versus the whole Dvar Mizbeach, Kusim, comparison between Terumas HaDesh and various Dinim and Menachos, the Shir of Haftara and relation to Kmitza. Those are all in one big sugya. Shitas Rabbi Yochanan versus Reish Lakish on the one hand and Rav Mana on the other hand. It sounds like their view, I mean, you have to look at it more closely, and I'm sure it would be more complicated if you look at it closely, but at least at first glance, the Yerushalmi seems to treat this all as one big sugya. Is Terumas HaDesh and Avodah or not? So I don't think the ultimate Shir Klali or something, like one, you know, one big Chakira that everything revolves around. Again, don't take my word for that. There's a lot more work to be done in the sugya, but that's at least a different approach. It'd be harder to do that in our sugya just because, you know, in each case you'd have to adjust for the various gears and customs. But in theory, you could say that, the question of Siluk versus not, or some other question really controls, and everything else would have to fit. And then finally, I think another Mahalach in reading the sugya, and this is really a version of the last thing I said, is the Shitas HaRambam. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, and we're just going to do this for the sake of completion, some theories of the Rambam, this will be relevant, some theories it won't. In Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Shloshim, Hishnitznavu, Hakohanim, Lahasir, remember this is a translation, Lahasir, Adeshen, Bechol Yom, Yalgavi, Mizbeach, Zewenikra, Trimus Adeshen, you have to remove the Deshen from the Mizbeach, that's Trimus Adeshen, Rambam Yisal, Lelashkoin, Mido, Bad, Beherim, Es Adeshen. So the pasuk is, right, the Beherim HaSedeshen, that's Trumas HaSedeshen. He doesn't say anything about Hotzah HaSedeshen. Either that's not part of the mitzvah, or it's included in Trumas HaSedeshen itself. That will be discussed in a moment. Hold that thought. Okay.
He has that in Perish Mishnah. He's also wondering
about that. And he has some version of it in Tvinim Musafin. So if we look at Tvinim Musafin, the Iker Halacha is Yud. Harama HaSedeshen me'ala Mizbeach b'chol yom mitzvah saseh. Notice the Lashon here. Harama, rather than Hasara, right, those are different words. I didn't check the Arabic, but I would assume that it's a valid translation. So removing the Deshen from the Mizbeach is, right, not removing, raising, Harama Sadeshen is a mitzvah say, Shemar Beherim Sadeshen, Vihi Avoda Me Avodos HaKahuna, it's an Avoda among the avodos of the kohanim. Uvigde kuhuna shatarim banadash and yukusim in akel shemeshayish ben bashar avodos. The begadim are less. Why? Shenemar upasha the begadim velovash begadim acherim beherimis adeshen. He quotes the pasuk by right. So there's an issue here in the sense that the ratio of the pasuk he quoted is about is pasuk dalet and the seifa is pasuk gimel. So he's clearly applying the pasuk the velovash begadim acherim, which is in pasuk dalet, to trumas adeshen, which is in pasuk gimel, which Reish Lakish did, but it's not clear we accept him lahalacha. It seems like we don't. Eino omer acherim sheyuhu bigdei chol. It doesn't mean bigdei chol, right? That was the havamina in Torah's Kohanim with Tanakhama. Elish you pusim in a rishonos, lower quality. Vishen derech eretz, yivzo kos l'rabu, v'gadim shavishon k'nir l'rabu. And he quotes the mashal of the qualitative v'gadim. Going on, he mentions in Yudalef, which we saw quickly, emesai term adeshim b'chol yom, mishayalim v'ashachar, in the morning, usually, with exceptions. In terms of how you do it, in Yud Gimel, he says, you pick it up. After that, gorfim es adeshim v'magrefos m'chol tzadiyam z'veach u'malnes ha'arem al gami atapuach. And then, morinos alamata, and presumably you take it, then you take it out. So according to the Rambam, there's really three different stages here. There's the trumas ha'deshen, where you take a shovel full off the mizbeach and put it next to the mizbeach. Then you take the rest of the deshen off the mizbeach. That's stage two. And stage three is the hotza'a. So we can call that harama, horada, and hotza'a. And then the Rambam points out, in the beginning of Tesvav, on some counts, so hotza'a is not an avoda, but you can't have bali mumin. You need a kohen kasher, although as was mentioned, there's no mention of the onesh here. So there's two things that are discussed primarily, but I mean, Lima Sadeh Mishnah talks about everything. Before I join the Rambam, talk about two main things. One question is, how does he use the drasha by Hotza'a to apply to Harama? Very cursorily, we'll mention a few answers. The Mari Kurkis says, Hotza'a is not an avodah, the way the Rambam holds, as he says in Tesvav. So therefore, the whole sfar of Kedesh Mishnah Rambam is not shaykh there at all. So what do you apply it to? So Sari Zamikra, and apply it back to Harama. So sort of a new drasha that we didn't have in the Gemara, because basically you're using Reish Lakish's sfarah, pushing it back without accepting Reish Lakish's conclusion that Harama is not an avoda. Keseth Mishnah points to the fact, we didn't discuss this earlier, but it came up a bit in passing. There really are two different Gzeres HaKasevs in Yuma. Yud Beis Amid Beis says Yilbash L'Rabos Mishukakim, and then V'Lavash L'Rabos Shukim. So it sounds like those of you talking about the same thing or two different things. The Keseth Mishnah says they're talking about two different things. One teaches it Legabe Hotza'a, one Legabe Horada, but it comes out the same, so you know, you put it all in one pasuk for the sake of brevity. Lecha Mishnah says, he's Mechalik, that Mishukakim are kasher for Harama, but are Achiyah for Hotza'a. So it's almost like the pasuk teaches you one thing, Legabe Hotza'a, and it applies with a lesser application, Legabe Harama, and that follows, right, that also works with the two drashos, at least the way the Lecha Mishnah says it, following Rashi. But it ends up with a qualitative difference. Anyway, that's the question of how the Rambam gets two different gets the drasha by pasuk dalet to apply to pasuk gimel by Harama, hotza to apply to Harama. The larger question for our purposes is right. The Rambam says Harama is an avoda, hotza is not. But how exactly does this work out among the sugyas? We're not going to really have time to work this through. But the Mari Kurkis and Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam holds like Rabbi Yochanan and the Tanakhama, meaning Pashas and the Tanakhama, right? Harama is an avoda, but it involves Shukim, and Otsa is not an avoda, right? And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't change that at all. Reish Lakish is trying to change it. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't. Mishnah Melech doesn't like that at all, because he says that if you really go like Rabbi Yochanan Tanakhama, at the end of the day, Otsa should still be an avoda, which reflects the difference in terms of how he understands Tanakhama, Legabe Otsa. But fine, that's a machlokes whether the Rambam can count there. Mishnah Melech gives a few suggestions and ends with Sarach Ion as to how the Rambam holds that Otsa is not an avoda. Again, a much larger discussion. The Marim Shik says not everything is an avoda. It really depends on the case. So hotza'a can be an avoda sometimes. Depends on my hotza'a. Meaning for the Rambam, the horada, right, stage two. Remember, there's three stages: picking up a shovel full from his bath, putting it down, and then horada, bringing everything else down from his bath. And stage three, the hotza'a, taking it out. So stage two horada can be an avoda in a case where it's helpful and necessary. It's not always. Doesn't always need to be cleared off. Sometimes you want to leave a nice pile of tapuach, and so people can see and enjoy. So only when it's necessary is it a mitzvah or an avoda, I should say. But it's not always. So the Rambam says lav avoda for hotza, and that sort of, you know, that captures the hotza lachutz and the tapuach. You know, it's a mitzvah. It's a avoda when necessary, but not when unnecessary. And the Rabbaz similarly says that, right, the Rabbaz raises the question about this horada aspect, and he ends up concluding that if that really goes with the Hotzan, that's not an avoda chashuva, and there's no pious there. Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlel, and this I think Mordechai was getting at before, based on the Sefer HaMitzvos, right? Recall the language is, was it she? I forgot. She v'hasir, right? The mitzvah says v'hasir. That sounds not like harava at all. Right? That sounds like horada or hotza'a. And he says, well, it's the Rambam l'shitasa. The Rambam has a whole discussion of horada, and that's the same as v'hasir. So the Iker mitzvah includes this idea of horada. Just the shovelful is one piece of it, but really, the mitzvah in full applies to both. Fine. The Mishnah Melech, on the other hand, goes back and forth as to how to view horada. At the end of the day, he says horada goes with hotza'a. So much for the classical mefarshim on the question. But we have the larger conceptual issue. What exactly is behind the Rambam's shita? So if we take Rav Rosenzweig's Mahalach on Siluk. So if you think about it, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says lahasir, whereas in the Mishnah Torah he says laharim. So that's right already. We have two different themes going on here, and that's, you know, even though some people see that as a stira, if you think that Avodah Siluk by definition involves two different stages, it's about the transition from the previous day to the next day, that's actually a good thing. It works well that they're both relevant. Also, you know, again, the Lahasir is a translation. Maybe a better translation would be Lasalik, if you think about it, or maybe the Rambam's Davka thinking of Lashon of Siluk when he wrote whatever he wrote in Judeo-Arabic.
The Rambam and Mishnah never actually describes Harama in Paraphrase of Lefty and Bates, right?
Ketza Tormin. No to us a machta, but all the Rosh Mizbech, we found us a good column, hail of hail of the Chosim and the column, she's not with... With Sober Sagan Chalm Shechita Al-Gabi Aritzba. Well, he gathers Gacham and he puts it on the floor.
I mean, he never talks about the mitzvah being the harama of, like, picking it up, or Hadavadam just says that you're chote, and then you remove it.
But that's only one shovelful, and then later they go in there, go rafe everything else. Right? So there's clearly two stages. Well, I mean, depends what you want to call it. Stage two, right? There's stuff on the mizbeach that you're taking off. You're not taking it out yet. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, but even there, he doesn't talk about harama.
No, he talks about harama in Yud Beis. I mean, he uses the verb harama sedeshin in Yud. In Yud Beis, he talks about the physical process, which is gathering it in a mafta.
Right, I'm just saying that harama, even there doesn't seem any reason to translate the harama sedeshin in the Rambam as like a maisa of harama.
Well, when he says harama sedeshin, the almas beach, mitzvahs I say, how do you read the beginning of Yud, though?
That thing which the Gemara calls harama sedeshin, right? What is that? The process described in Halacha Yud Beis.
Well, Gemara calls it Truma Sedeshin, right? Mishnah, but yeah.
A different conjugation. But.
Right, so I think you're going with Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlel. I think he wants to say that really the Iker is this, the aspect of taking everything off and cleaning it off, and that's the Iker point, and that's the Sefer Mitzvos, and he sort of pushes the Mishnah Torah of Harama Sedeshin into that. I just think the Lashon of Harama Sedeshin means what it sounds like it means, but we'll get to. Yeah, but I think you're with Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlel.
Yeah, but it's not like the Rambam says, okay, it's a Tarmin, oh, he's like. Nehrim,
right. No, that's true.
Full,
right, which I think is because he's playing down the idea. Like it's hard to read this Rambam saying that there's a real hakrava, right? Which is what he would say by mincha. Let's say I didn't check the laws by mincha. Presumably, it'd be something like that. But the Rambam's clearly not saying that. You want to say it's really just siluk. That's one way of taking it. Another way of taking it, as we were saying, is the mahalach that is the complex siluk, where siluk is the transition from one day to the next. That's why. You know, you have middle statuses for just about everything, right? So again, the two lashonos are lahasir and harama, and those are both aspects of Trumas Hadeshin, which involves siluk. Even though Trumas Hadeshin is an avoda, you don't have the best begadim because it's not so nice. Because it's at the end of the day, it's not hakrava; it's a siluk process. And hotza'a, even though it's not an avoda, it's still Bali Mumim can't do it because there's some aspect of avoda. I mean, if Balmumim could do it, then maybe even better. But at least there's some aspect that shows that Hotza is not a nothing. It's part of the overall siluk. So that would be the way of the siluk mahalach, or Rosenzweig's mahalach, fitting that in here. The problem is the Rambam doesn't say the lashon of siluk in these halachos. So you have to go to Bias Mikdash, Perek Tes, where the Rambam talks about the Isser Misa, the Misa of the Zar by Azar Sha'avad. Where halacha beis, he just says the general rule halacha ches, he talks about Trumas Hadeshin. So halacha beis, it just mentions the rule of Avodah Tama. You need Avodah Tama for a Zar to be Chayav Misa if he does it. In Halacha Ches, the Rambam writes, Haramas Adesh and Tzricha Kohen, Shnemer Vlash Kumi Vavad, Vim Heir Misrael Loke, the Eino Chayav Misa, Afal Pisha Eino Chare Avodah, in that sense it's Tama, right? It's Tama, and still no Chayav Misa, Shnemer Vodas Matana, Avodas Matana, he who, Shtiya Vekohen Levad, Vim Karav Lahazar, Chayav Misa. It is Avodah Tama, Avala Avodah Siluk, Ein Chayav Misa, because it's not, sorry, it's Avodah Tama, it's not Avodah Smatana, it's rather Avodah Siluk, and therefore there's no Chayav Misa. So this Mahalach would have to say that this point in the Rambam, where the only place the Rambam talks about Siluk in the Mishnah Torah, the category of Siluk, which is why there's no Misa Bazar, you have to import that into Tzmidim Musaf and Perek Beis, where the Rambam talks about Terus Hadesh. Now the Diuk, I think Rav Rosenzweig, that was in our conversation, was maybe the Lashon of the Rambam, he says, he doesn't quite say it's an Avoda, full-throatedly, he says, Avoda me Avodas HaKuhuna. So that would be sort of the hook with which to import the Rambam via Smikdash. My sense of the Rambam is, I guess, a bit more balabatish. If you just read the Rambam, he doesn't talk too much about categorizing Terus Hadesh. He doesn't really define it too much. He seems to avoid that almost intentionally, right? Haras Hadesh and Rambam's Be'ach is a mitzvah zaseh. What's the nature of that? Well, he doesn't really tell you much. He says you wear begadim chusim because it's not the nicest avoda, which, as we said, could very well be a technical point. It's we don't just all it's cleanliness or just propriety. You don't want to even for the harama, which is not necessarily the cleanest thing either. That's a matter of dispute. That would be why you wear it. In Yud Aleph, the Rambam doesn't say it's avodas lila, it's avodas yom. It doesn't sound like it's a conceptual matter. It's just a pragmatic thing. When does it happen? It happens usually during the day, sometimes at night, nothing conceptual there. He doesn't mention Avodah Siluk at all. It's Midim U'Musaftim. And again, in terms of Hotzah is not an Avodah. That's all. It's just less, not an Avodah. And, the Rambam goes out of his way to avoid any conceptual categorization, even where he does venture into that. In Bias Mikdash, if you notice, he doesn't even say that the overall rule is that Avodah Siluk doesn't count. It's almost like a special Gzeiras HaKasev, a technical point within Terus Hadesh, and it happens to be that Avodah Siluk, it doesn't qualify. Even though it actually should qualify, given the rule as laid out in Halacha Beis. The rule in Halacha Beis is it needs to be Avodah Tama. That's the main rule. There's some special Gzeiras HaKasev that Terus Hadesh is Mufka because it's because it happens to be an Avodah Siluk, which I would say the Rambam reads technically. I could very well be wrong, and probably am, but that's my reading of the Rambam is much more balabatish. In terms of the point of avodah me avodas hakahuna, so I brought a few cases where the Rambam uses that phrase, and in a very you may see it to be that's just seems to be in his daiti the way the Rambam says something is an avodah. So if you look in Bias Mikdash Hey Yud Zayin, Chen Kol HaOsek Ba'avodah Me Avodas HaMikdash. Whatever avodas the mitzvah you do, you need to be omed al ritzpa. Or tmi musaf in dalat tes, kol shezacha about.
It's not a, it's on mail. Because here it's saying it's a.
Avoda me avoda sakuna.
Right.
So I guess like when you're an agent of avoda,
here he's saying he's making a proclamation.
From Sadeshan
is an avoda me avoda.
Mm-hmm. Aha. Right. Right. Okay.
Same words, but it's the connotation sense.
I guess I thought
it is a characterization. That isn't a characterization. That's just mm-hmm. a description.
For
the sake of an application.
Well, one case that complicates it a bit, even with that diuk, I may want to raise is Bias Mikdash Tes Beis. So that's where he sets out the standards for Misa Bazar. Avvisha Azar Musharim Shelo Yisasku Ba Avoda. Me avodos hakarbanos. There he uses the lashon too, right? Any avoda me avodos hakarbanos, that only applies for if it's avodah tama. And you would think this would be the perfect place to say that same phrase.
On the contrary, because Terus Hadesh is included.
But you should have said it right there. You should have said me avodah me avodos hakahuna, and right, it would have been better if he had said siluk is distinct from is a distinct type of. If that was what the phrase meant, you'd expect he'd put those two things together.
But he is saying it implicitly in the continuation.
He said the avodah me avodas a korbanos, right?
Yep.
As opposed to avodah me avodas a korbanos.
Okay.
like that. I just think it's in Chayavim Yisrael al Alav Adam Tam, being so that implicitly. I mean, what do you? I mean, you could ask technically if this is inaccurate.
That right?
Because the Trum Sedation isn't about a Tama, it's about Kate Nisa.
Right. Well, that base is inaccurate. You need to ask Kate Nisa. Yeah.
Right. So I'm just saying. I would say that. That's why he uses that phrase there because he wants to include it. Even though, in a way, he's going to contradict himself in the next word, and then you have to wait until he has to come to the solution. He's already signaling you that not just an avoda, but even an avoda miavoda is like a bhakti, even a different kind of an avoda.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So,
what do you think about the fact that Rambam omits the Shir Kmitza, which is lovely?
Yeah, so I think one way, I didn't discuss it then, one way of reading the Matskana of the Gemara, when you say it's compared to Mincha, and Mincha is a Kmitza, it's almost like whatever the shovel picks up. I mean, it's not, there's no particular shear.
It's much more than saying that.
Yeah, I may have seen that. So I think
that's an end, but that would be an answer.
I mean, an answer, but one that with no Nafkamina.
Right.
Because if you're going to be Chota with your, he says it then, right, he says, whatever you take with the Machta, that's what, no, that's the shear. So he doesn't need to spell it out. Every case will be the shear.
Right. No, I only meant. That's that could be, and that's a solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a solution that makes the question irrelevant. Is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question. The Rambam did something, and they noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other possibility is that because, and you alluded to it before, that whether or not you compare it to truma, you know, to a smaisos truma, or to kmitza, I think you were suggesting they have something to do also with whether you look at this as kind of akhtara or something else.
Uh-huh. So you're suggesting he's, you know, not, I don't know, rejecting or sort of backing down from
right,
that concept of it's compared to mincha.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that he doesn't really think it's a real hakrava, at minimum.
Okay, I think that's what I prepared. Thank you all for your indulgence. And the chabura is tama.
I'm away for the next 2 Thursdays in Israel. I didn't